about.
So, it's black weather, I do. Let the games begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Snoop Doggy Dog.
What's crackling, my people? Keep it rock and roll, my nigga. Please.
Where would we be without the Snoop Man?
I just wanted... You're great.
That's the coolest story I've ever heard in my entire life. That's insane. Can I hear it again?
Yeah! Yeah! Everybody! You! Eat! Suck! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Yeah!
All right, then. Who likes to rock the party?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Brazil, Indiana, hello.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You know, the Germans always make good stuff.
Roll another one.
Oh, horse manure.
Just like the other one.
You want to run that by me again?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Lighten up.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Hit a new low point.
Roll. Roll another one.
That's an obvious hole.
Just like the other one.
I don't want to have said that.
This one seems to be about to end.
Chili dog.
I don't have another cent.
CBS corporate bull.
That joint.
Get in my belly.
Let's pass it around.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend.
What's with the pull?
And now.
Hey, everybody! How about Craig Wilson? Craig Wilson?
Lisa's the wave of the future.
I'm dangerously dry.
Our feature presentation.
All right, let's count it down. 20, 19, 16, 17, 9, 12, 10, 4, 14. Happy New Year! 7, 6, 8, 11, 11, 18, 5, 3, 2, 20. Happy New Year!
Ah, poor Dick. As Lisa has so often said.
Oh, yeah, often, yes. As they walked out the door.
Hey, party people, why not pick up the phone? Give us a call. We've got a couple lines open at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to get in on the Kevin and Bean Friday edition of What It Do Nephew. Kevin, everything okay down there?
I just can't get the microphone working.
Okay.
He's good
that,
now.
And that was so not his fault. Like, the stuff that malfunctions here, it blows my mind.
You know how we fixed it?
Really?
A couple of, yeah.
All right.
That's how you fix stuff.
Hey, that's how Han Solo got the Millennium Falcon to start that time, remember? Just started banging on the dash. Some things never change.
Right. Although that never happened, but yes, correct.
I saw it
right,
in the movie.
I know. It's a movie.
It was on film.
Right,
they couldn't fake that.
All right.
Clearly, that's how he started up the spaceship. Hey, real quick before we go to the calls, because we didn't have time to talk about this yesterday, but I love it so much. The Tyra Banks Show had a huge, huge program this week.
I know there are 5 women on my stage, but between them... They have 10 vaginas.
Come on.
Nope.
Vagina.
10 vaginas, 5 women. These 5 women have 2 vaginas each. Imagine the possibility.
Yeah, I went to my family doctor and told them that there was something different down there. And they scheduled an ultrasound. And the ultrasound came up that I had 2 uteruses.
So you had 2 vaginas.
Yes. So technically it's a left vagina and a right vagina.
A left vagina and a right vagina. And which vagina is your dominant?
The right.
So you have.
By the way, Mike, if dominant vagina isn't your new band,
it's good.
Come on.
So you have sex in the right one?
Usually.
Usually?
Usually. Technically, if you have 2, you can use both.
Do you have 2 clitorises?
No.
1 clitoris.
No. And only 1 G-spot, sadly.
There you go.
Wow.
Pretty hot show.
Oh, my God.
I guess. Doesn't she ruin it, though? Doesn't Tyra ruin
it
for you?
Not the way she looked on this show. I'm telling you, she really looked good this week.
She can't look good enough to overcome that personality. Mm-mm. Just can't.
Even Sound Down?
No.
Wow.
Even Sound Down.
And Lisa, what about women like you who only have one vagina? Are you even worth keeping around anymore? I mean, now that I know that this is out there, what's the point of settling?
Well, I think you, of all people, should definitely go for the woman with two because, well, I mean, you practically kill the woman with one with satisfaction.
It's
you
true.
Just slay her. So
he wrecks people.
Seriously,
he needs to.
You need a new challenge.
Good idea.
All right, let's start with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right. How about a pair of tickets to the Auto Club 500? That's coming up on February the 21st at the Auto Club Speedway. You don't have the date here, but it doesn't tell me what
Sunday,
day of the
Sunday!
Nice.
That's right. The West Coast premiere of the 2010 NASCAR season, and that's what you get for being on the air. Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew. Why don't we start with, why don't we start with Steve? Steve is calling on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about a big story in the sports world yesterday.
Hey, Steve.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's happening?
Hey, you know, I wanted to call in because the Clippers coach, Dunleavy, quote-unquote, stepped down yesterday as coach.
Oh, he quit?
Yeah, but he stays on as GM. What is that?
Stays on as GM.
I guess they figure he's got two jobs to do, and he's doing one of them really well.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's my guess is whatever money decisions and you know he needs to make, they must be happy with, but not his coaching. Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe it's Dave would know more. The King of Mexico is Clipper fan number one. Maybe he didn't want to do both because he needed more time to be GM or something. Who knows?
Yeah. Apparently, he fired himself. He stepped down. So
he's a general manager. He called himself in and said, you suck as
a
coach.
He's a GM. I guess he's having some personal issues or something. And so he said, you know what? It'll be better if the assistant coach took over the team, and now we have Kim Hughes.
And that way you don't have to travel and stuff, right?
He's going to deal nothing but personnel. So
you know what would help if the team would get sold? That would help.
Well, it's you know, this time it's not the owner's fault. It's Dunleavy.
It's always the owner's fault.
He was
always bad,
dude. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And here comes the playoffs, baby. Playoffs!
Right, I mean, here comes the playoffs. That's not in conjunction with the conversation we were just having about the Clippers.
LeBron and OTAN.
The Clippers are excited about the playoffs as long as they have cable. They can watch it that way.
Right, exactly.
Somebody said yesterday, I can't remember who it was, somebody mentioned Michael Dunleavy got fired, and they said, I wish they would have given him more time.
Yeah.
Which is awesome because he's been the coach forever, and they've sucked ever since he's been the coach. All right, thank you for the call. While we're talking about basketball, why don't we stick on topic with Alex? He's on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Alex, what it do, nephew?
What it do? All right, me and my friends are having a discussion. I think that when Derek Fisher retires, the Lakers should retire his number. My friend believes he's not a good enough player to have his number retired. What do you think?
I think they're absolutely good enough to have it retired.
Derek Fisher.
Yeah, what do you think?
No way.
No way.
I don't think so
by the way.
Really?
I don't have stats in front of me. I mean, I could be proven wrong, but he seems like a key player, a great player, not a retire your jersey player. Those are few and far between.
One of my favorite Lakers, great guy to have in the locker room, a great human being.
What's the...
The Lakers are the Lakers, the Los Angeles Lakers. The pantheon of people that they have put, that they have restricted to retiring numbers is the elite of basketball elite, and you cannot have
Derek
Fisher
there.
So he's not that? No. You know, we're talking the Wilt Chamberlains, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
sure.
Magic Johnson, Jerry West, and you got to keep it to that. I mean, upper echelon.
You
got to
be an A.
1%.
You can't you can't be a BB plus to get retired.
And nothing against Derek Fisher. I mean, I think he's been a crucial factor in the Lakers' championship runs in the early 2000s, late 90s. But he's not the type of player that needs to be having his.
What did you say, Alex? Well, your feeling was that he should be retired.
Well, the way I see it personally, my first Lakers jersey I got was Fisher because he's my favorite player.
Right.
The way I see it, he's made so many clutch shots for the Lakers. I mean, throughout their playoff runs, I can't remember how many like clutch three-pointers that helped them either advance into a playoff or help them win the series to advance or even in the championship. So, I don't know. What I remember of Derek Fisher when he retires is pretty much all the clutch threes that he hits.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you.
Well, then do you retire Robert Horry's jersey? I mean,
well,
think about, you know,
Robert,
you gotta, how many defensive How many defensive shutdowns did Michael Cooper have during the 80s? How many times did he shut down opposing team players because and you know, led the Lakers to a victory in championships and playoff games? Does that mean we should retire his number? I mean, a lot of guys have had very, very good games and been important to the Lakers along the way. But I'm saying when it comes to retiring jerseys.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Sorry.
I'm with you, Michael. It's funny. You retire all the jerseys that, you know, guys like Alex want to, that every player has to start with a number higher than 100.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, let's talk to Albert. He had some excitement in his life on line 6. Albert, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What to do, nephew?
What to do, guys?
What's going on?
Last night, I ended up finding out I have a secret show with Jared Leto. He's playing some, you know, a documentary he's making. The end result ended up a guy coming with a package and, you know,
What's happening here? What just happened?
For those who don't speak Albert, there's a
story.
I don't know anyone that speaks Albert.
30 Seconds to Mars had a secret show last night for the fans. I think it was at the Hive, is that right?
Correct.
And they were filming it. And there was a bomb threat, and they had to evacuate everybody and evacuate several blocks around the venue as well.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Is that what you said, Albert?
Yeah.
Wow. That's unbelievable. What Bean said is what you said?
Yes.
Wow.
I took 1 year of Albert in high school. 11th grade, I took Albert. And it's weird because I never thought I would need it. And who knew years later I'd be in a situation where it would be so crucial?
It's nothing like regular English. It's crazy.
You know we got to go to Rich. Have to. Just have to. Sorry. Hey, Rich.
Hey, what's it going?
What is it going?
I don't speak Rich. What's he talking about?
How's it going? We're talking about the Kings last night.
That's what I'm talking about.
That game was awesome.
Kings played the Ducks. Up 4-1 going into the third.
Yeah.
Ducks tied it. Kings won 6-4.
Nice.
Awesome. 8 in a row. Fourth place. What do you want?
And that's Quick's 8 straight victories, which makes him the Kings' best goalie all time.
Oh, don't make us go back to Albert for clarification.
Wait, I think the Lakers should retire his jersey. That's what I think. All right. Do we have time to squeeze in DeJuan, or do we let him suffer all weekend long?
Oh, no. No. All
right, last call.
Load of email.
DeJuan Johnson, Los Angeles, California, line 1. Hi, DeJuan.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, DeJuan.
How are you, buddy?
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, I'd like to sing happy birthday to my friend Jessica Martinez in San Pedro, California.
Right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jess. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jessica.
Very nice.
And, one of Jessica's friends, if you guys heard of Jessica, is Jessica still around? Please have her call the Kevin and Bean Show or call me.
All right.
Call
you, actually, even better. Yeah.
We haven't talked to her in a while. All right.
What makes you think she's listening right now?
I think that she's probably up this time of this morning.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. And, you know, you should call her on her birthday, DeJuan. Maybe just call her directly and take out the radio in the middle.
I don't have her number, but I...
Oh, that happens to me with girls a lot. I know where you're coming from, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, DeJuan, you're the best.
Thanks.
Okay. Man, DeJuan is a mission accomplished kind of guy. When he finishes what his goal is, he is spent.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
It's Friday morning. That means several things. That means Movie Beat.
Mm-hmm.
That means Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
We have an interesting instant request on today's program. We got to point you in the direction of President Lyndon Johnson.
I never thought I'd hear Kevin excited about doing anything with a president who's not in office.
They just released. When did they release the audio, Bean, this week?
Like two or three days ago, yeah.
2 or 3 days ago, they released a phone call that he made to Hager Pants. And he's got a real problem with their pants being too tight around the area where his nuts hang.
As he so eloquently put it.
As he says. Which is just before he burped and then started talking about his bunghole.
Imagine, flower.
Imagine being the guy at the pants company who gets told that the president of the United States wants to speak with you. And then, you know, you're trying to be all... You know, with decorum and polite, and then he gets on with his potty mouth. What are you supposed to do on the other end of that phone?
Yeah, you're supposed to just say yes or no. Yes or no, sir.
Oh, yes, sir.
So great. Sports superstitions on today's program. Let's see. What else do we have? Matt Money Smith, live from Miami.
Yeah. Right.
checked in with him yesterday with text, and he's it's a rough week down there.
I can imagine.
It's a tough week. There's bad rain, and parties are busting up, and all kinds of stuff. So good times. So we'll talk to him today as well. The Super Bowl is this Sunday, and we'll take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 5 minutes till 6 o'clock.
Hey! It's Friday. That's Ralph Garman joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What's going on, Ralph?
Remember Bean, the interview killer from yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
We had star Mark Valley, star of Human Target, one of my new favorite shows over there on Fox. And we had him on, and Bean destroyed the interview. We had to let Mark go. Because Bean killed the interview.
Yeah.
Right, I thought it was going along fine.
It was going great.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. We were talking about the show. He seemed to be enjoying the interview. And then horrible things happened.
I have a clip. You want to hear it?
Please.
Right. What's great about Human Target, I think, is that when they do the inevitable porn knockoff, they don't even have to change the title. I mean, you got to love that.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying. You got to love that.
Really?
What?
Wow. Really?
Sorry about that, Mark.
So weren't we already saying goodbye? Wasn't that interview 98% in the can, Ralph?
Listen, just because someone's leaving your house, you don't kick them in the balls before they leave. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes when you have company over, when you have guests, you treat them nice from the beginning of the experience to the end of the experience. Sometimes.
We're hoping that wasn't the last time we're going to talk to him.
And it will be. Why would he want to come back? Why would he want to come back? When you hear in his voice, really?
Really?
I was very pleasant to him and complimentary and enthusiastic about his show. I don't think I treated Mr. Valley poorly.
I'm just being the interview killer.
I just want to thank the listener who sent me the latest in Bean the Twitter Killer. It's a new segment we're having on the show.
Is that right?
This is a little bit of it. This is a still store, as they say, you know, from a tweet account.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Banks, very talented and lovely actress.
Love
Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
Tweeted yesterday, showbiz lesson number 241. When someone sprays something in your face, consider closing your eyes. I guess she was getting made up or something, and they got some makeup in her eyes or a hairspray or something.
Yeah.
So Bean responds to her Twitter with the following.
To her specifically?
To her specifically.
Oh, no.
But especially porn showbiz.
Oh.
Really?
You know,
that's what she said.
You know, somewhere Elizabeth Banks went, really?
Yeah.
Well, excuse me. She can't tweet about getting something sprayed in your face and closing your eyes and not expect somebody to think that. Come on.
Maybe a 12-year-old boy with no life who's in an iron lung and a spina bifida and only communicates through the computer.
My problem is you're not trying.
When
Maybe
Ralph read
a
that,
porn one.
Yeah, how about porn showbiz lesson number 241?
When Ralph read that tweet, tell me you didn't think, Kevin, that's what she said. Come on.
But you didn't write that's what she said. You wrote maybe
but
the
especially
porn,
in porn show business. Lesson you learned from that.
I did the best I could with whatever it was, the 13 characters that I had to respond.
Did you have a 5-second deadline which you could not reconsider what it was you were typing?
No, Bean, you know, Bean has to move on these things.
I'm standing by it.
He's a busy man.
Standing by it.
You're just horrible. That's all
I
we're
love
saying.
Elizabeth Banks.
Well, you proved
I'm sure
it
she got a
being,
laugh about it.
Oh, I'm sure she did.
By being wonderfully respectful. See, this is why we can't have nice things. Because Bean comes along and puts his stink all over everything, and now people won't come and talk to us.
I hear you.
I will have it for next hour, Ralph. I can't find it, but I want to remind you that Bean had one of the worst and most embarrassing moments with Elizabeth Banks on the phone.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
That was with Slither. I remember that.
Yeah,
so
Slither.
He's really doing his best to keep Elizabeth Banks
She'll never talk to us again. Anyway, I want to thank the listener who sent me that that tweet.
Bean, don't turn people.
You guys are just hella jealous.
Don't turn people we like against us.
Isn't it bad enough the damage you do on the radio? Do you have to now spread your virus through the internet?
I'm standing.
Yes,
by
is the answer to that.
Yeah. Speaking of viruses, we now know what killed a couple high-profile cases here in the Los Angeles area. Brittany Murphy's untimely demise. The LA County Coroner's Office has finally announced that her death was officially caused by pneumonia.
Oh, really?
Pneumonia
combined with iron deficiency anemia and then multiple drug intoxications she was taking to treat her pneumonia, apparently. Sadly,
asshole.
Sources say the situation was preventable and treatable, but no one took her to the hospital to get her pneumonia treated. So she was just
trying to take care of it herself?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You don't see that very often.
So really, all she needed was a trip to the doctors. Could have saved her life.
Wow. That's sad.
And Casey Johnson, of course, another high-profile death. Mm-hmm. The LA County Coroner's Office yesterday released the fact that she passed away from diabetes. It was her diabetes.
Oh, she went into a diabetic coma?
Yeah.
Maybe it was porn diabetes. No?
That was strong.
Let me work on that again.
She passed away due to diabetic ketoacidosis.
That doesn't sound good.
Or severe insulin deficiency.
Yeah.
She had been hospitalized for that condition on at least two prior occasions before her passing, so...
You know, I wonder how often that happens, because most people with that kind of diabetes, they have insulin on hand. They use it when they
start to feel poorly.
I get the sense Casey Johnson really was on top of things when it came to taking care of her health.
Mm. Yeah.
She strikes me as a person who would just as soon medicate with a cigarette and a shot of Jägermeister as she would a shot of insulin. So, Amy Winehouse!
Yes?
In the news, apparently she is at odds with her record company. Because she wants to go back to St. Lucia.
Oh.
St. Lucia.
Where she drank and did nothing
for a year. She wants to go on another liquid vacation.
Wow.
And the record company's like, hey, seriously, we need another record.
Just go into the studio for a week.
Just record anything.
Knock it out.
She said she's going, and they said, look, we will get studio time there, but you have to start working on a new record. So we'll remains to see who wins in that power struggle.
That's cute that they still have hope for her.
I know. They think she's still going to make some music at some point.
And she's as likely to make that record as she was to come to Coachella after that was announced. Remember?
Yeah, true.
Maybe porn Coachella. Oh, man. I guess that doesn't really work. I'm out of time, but in an hour, when you come back to listen to the Showbiz Beat. Not that you'll come back. You're going anywhere.
You might
stick around.
Right.
Yeah. Big battle between Taylor Swift and Kelly Clarkson.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's on.
It's on. It's on like Donkey Kong. So, and it's pretty entertaining. So we'll talk about that. First celebrity birthdays. Christopher Guest, one of my comedy heroes. Man largely responsible for Spinal Tap. And then, of course, went on to do all those amazing movies with all those funny improvisational actors. 62 years old today. He's married to Jamie Lee Curtis, too, by the way.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, they're married. Mm-hmm. Tim Meadows. Who was one of the black guys from Saturday Night Live. That's how he's probably most popular known.
Sure.
He is 49 years old today. Jennifer Jason Leigh turns 48 years old. Laura Linney celebrates her 46th birthday. Duff McKagan of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 46. And singer Bobby Brown is 41 years old today. I wonder if he'll celebrate or not. Well, it's his prerogative.
Hey now.
File.
Maybe it's his porn prerogative. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Kevin, I understand you've become obsessed with a certain news story.
Well, you know, maybe it's just that the coverage is more than I'm used to, but the Michael Jackson death story, which I guess he died in, was it June?
It was June 25th, I think.
All right. Every day there's been something about Dr. Conrad Murray. Every day. They're thinking about charging him. They might charge him. He might be in trouble. They're doing some research.
They're investigating.
Sure is going to come very soon. Arrest warrant sought for Dr. Conrad Murray. I got some headlines here from TMZ. Jackson probe coming in for a landing. Law enforcement doesn't believe Dr. Murray. Let's see. Dr. Conrad Murray, Friday's the day.
Oh, well, maybe today's the day then.
Murray plans to surrender. Criminal complaint, and then Dr. Conrad Murray not charged today. And the final one is LAPD DA feud derails Dr. Murray arraignment. Now, if we were taking this long to do anything, honestly, it may be more normal than I realize, but doesn't it seem like they've been really on the verge of arresting him? Really, just
it's only a matter of seconds.
Yes.
I think they have, and I think they will, but I think they also want to make sure in high-profile cases where the LAPD has the possibility of having their reputation destroyed if they have a conviction and blow it, especially for some procedural error.
Right.
I think they just want to make sure absolutely that everything is set.
Right, but there is a point where they're going to have to pull the trigger, right? I mean, they are going to have to eventually charge him.
If they decide to charge him at some point, yeah, they're going to have to. I mean, it doesn't sound like, you know, he's the problem. He sounds like he couldn't be more cooperative. He flew from his home in Houston out to Los Angeles this week just to be available for the LAPD in the event that, you know, they do charge him and he wants to surrender, he wants to turn himself in, just tell me what time and I'll be there.
So according to Harvey Levin, he's says that the DA said, all right, just we'll have you surrender at such and such time. The LAPD, who's been doing the,
investigation, yeah.
They say, no, we want to arrest him and put him in cuffs. And the DA says, well, his lawyer's going to bring him in. And the LAPD says, nope. So now they're fighting over that.
That seems a waste of resources. Couldn't they be out doing other things if the guy's just going to walk in with his lawyer?
I really don't know. But we thought we would check in with him because he is in Southern California and he's waiting for the arraignment. He knows it's coming. His lawyer knows. Mm-hmm. And they're going to walk into the station as soon as anyone tells him it's on.
Gets over with.
Right.
Okay.
Well, this is a big thrill. This is a big Kevin Abete exclusive, too, because Dr. Murray has done no interviews. So this is great that we have him on the show. Dr. Murray, are you there? Can you hear us okay? What are you at some sort of Mardi Gras party? What the hell's going on out there? I don't have any idea what you're saying, but I guess you did grow up where? In Trinidad and Tobago? Is that what's going on here? Okay. All right. What, in your own words, doctor, what's preventing you from being arrested?
Oh, the make it iron style, Macondo board. When they come to the right, just stone by the handle, come on. Hey, when they come to the block, clock, pop, pop, pop.
I don't have any idea what's what you're saying.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they haven't been able to get a statement that they understand yet. Okay, let me try another question then. Are you going to claim, is there any way you can move further away from the orchestra, sir?
I think you went closer, B.
Me make the heartbeat come rock and steal the steel drum.
Okay.
Okay, so are you going to claim, when it finally gets to that point, are you going to claim that the propofol that you gave Michael Jackson should not have killed him? Is that your story?
Many moon, I take it the proper fall. You come with it. It come down. Steven Seagal through the window. Chicken head. Bo, bo, bo. Real Rasta style.
Anyone?
Are you gonna plead not guilty?
Oh, when it comes to this, the conchel no making no fun with the blonde head woman did the pasta.
What?
It's a really more of a yes or no question.
I'll entirely when it comes to the rockers of samba, kundunu, make it I'm boss.
Dude's in a good mood for a guy that's just about to be charged with involuntary manslaughter.
This is the party style right near the beach.
I will tell you that I hope they televise this trial now. I didn't really care all that much before. Now I'm going to be watching.
When a wiggity wick, that's it. A bongo call, sweet rasta. Come now.
Well, I couldn't have said that better myself. Good luck, Dr. Murray. This Sunday, it's the K-Rock Big Game Party. Sunday at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Psycho Mike will be there looking in the mirror. Pepper's going to be there.
I hope Psycho Mike's going to wear his cardigan and his tie like he is today.
Bright red gay cardigan, yeah. Pepper will be performing. Admission is free. You can watch the big game and have a great time and hang out with, Psycho Mike. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 6:24.
You are listening to the Kevin Abete Show on a Friday. Ralph will be along with the Showbiz Beat coming up in just a few minutes. Also, Adam Carolla on the program today. And we'll check in with Matt Money Smith, live from the Super Bowl city of Miami. Just because Elisa's on the phone, I want to say this because I know she's listening before we go to her. Mayonnaise, mayonnaise, mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Oh, she must be creeping out of her skin.
Yeah, this is the type of person that I don't understand. I've never one time had any desire to correct people who are saying things wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just, if I hear it and recognize it, I go, oh, well, that's not how I heard it.
Yeah. We had a conversation the other day where I was, rightfully, I believe, blasting ketchup as being the worst of all possible condiments. Because ketchup just blows. There's no reason for it to exist on the earth. It ruins everything it touches. So in the subsequent conversation about that, we started talking about other condiments, and I'm a big fan of the mayonnaise. And apparently at some point, I'm sure I was guilty of it. I know others have said that they also sometimes will say mayonnaise. Apparently it drove Elisa crazy to the point where she started either emailing or texting or tweeting or something.
What drove her crazy?
Stop saying the fact that we were saying mayonnaise and not mayonnaise. So,
oh, come on.
Apparently it was driving her crazy. And we're going to talk to Lisa here right now. But then the bigger conversation is going to be not just on that particular word, but on the words that you hear that people say that drive you crazy because they're not precisely the way you would say them. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear.
Hi, Bean.
Mayonnaise. That drives you crazy.
Yeah, it's just really annoying. I remember growing up and hearing, you know, kids saying that.
Right.
And people never really grew out of it.
Right.
And it's dumb.
How do you...
It's a dumb word.
How do you say it specifically? Is it mayo or is it just kind of a mix?
Mayonnaise.
You
know, it's not, I don't really over-enunciate.
Okay. So here's what drove you crazy. Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise, yeah.
It's
pretty darn close.
Yeah.
It is close. And this is what's interesting about this.
I say
is
it all the time.
Yeah.
That's how I say it.
She knows. She pointed it out. Yeah, sorry, B.
What's interesting is that it's not a word that somebody doesn't know or somebody is way mispronouncing. I mean, it's such a slight variation. It's almost like mayonnaise is just kind of a little bit lazier way to say mayonnaise. I mean, they're so close, it's almost like you're not making the extra effort, but how big... It's kind of like February, which is technically correct, and everybody says February, because it's just a little bit easier. Yet it's enough to drive you crazy.
But there does come a point where it's kind of accepted to say it both ways.
Right.
Or at least everyone does.
Because wasn't it at one time catsup?
Yes. Some people still are on the catsup bandwagon.
All right, but here's my question, Lisa.
Yeah.
How little do you have going on in your life that you hear that and you go, I must contact them and let them know that they're saying it wrong?
I had to tweet Dave. I heard Bean say it.
Right.
And you know, Bean, I love you, but, you know, that annoyed me. And then Lisa kept saying it. And I was just like, oh, my God, just stop it.
Really? It bothers you that much?
Yeah, it does.
And by the way, Bean is a perfect example of this. He's written emails to... you know, TV news hosts about the way they
say
things.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you.
Bean loves Groundhog's Day.
Groundhog Day.
He loves Daylight Savings Time.
Daylight Saving Time.
Right.
Pronunciation at least is open to a little bit of interpretation. I mean, at least I can understand some variations in how people precisely pronounce words. Something like the difference between Daylight Saving and Daylight Savings. Well, one is absolutely right and one is absolutely wrong because, I mean, it's an actual act of Congress. It has a name that is... in stone.
Right.
It's not open for interpretation.
Right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying, what do you have going in your life that you can make that a big deal?
Many of us have the ability to juggle lots of things at once. We can have important things going on in our lives and also still pay attention to little things. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. Like Alyssa, for instance, she's a very busy woman. She has lots going on. She has an awesome dog.
Not enough.
But that doesn't mean she can't still also care about mayonnaise.
Please tell everyone there to stop saying mayonnaise.
And Bean just said mayonnaise. Apparently, you're not making any changes here.
Oh,
sorry.
All right, we're gonna take phone calls 1-800-520-1067. It's this type of really, honestly, pretty insignificant stuff that drives you crazy, and you're the only one that seems to be getting you're going crazy over it, and you try to correct people, it's not working.
No.
There's no point in correcting people because I hear things that bug me, and I just don't buy.
Right.
Mostly
you just
for
let
me,
it go.
It's grammar.
Yeah,
and just let it go.
And there are some words that stick out. I mean that refuse to die. I mean people who say irregardless, for instance. Well, it doesn't matter. For 100 years, people have been telling you that there's no such word as irregardless. It's just regardless. Yet there are still some people who are just always going to say it because that's the way they know it. You know?
Yeah.
And I get that. I understand that. Kevin's point is, how much does it really matter?
Right.
I guess as long as the intent of the word is understood.
All right, let's go to the pronunciation guide.
Mayonnaise.
There you go. All right, good.
I had someone write me a letter about right two lanes versus two right lanes years ago.
And then you go, hey, how much can that bother you?
You know what? I changed it because he said there's only one right lane. So if there are two, you have to say the right two lanes. And so I changed it.
What?
I mean,
That's
but I don't know. Now I feel militant about mayonnaise.
You should. Now you're not going to say it right because it bugs her.
That's what man is. Man is. All right, Lisa. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it, my dear.
Bye.
Tom writes in, people who say orientated drive me nuts. It's just oriented. There's no such word as orientated.
I wondered what that was.
By the way, that's correct. But how much can you care about that?
Tom cared enough to spend 10 seconds to email us, I guess, about it. All right, that's what we're looking for. You have heard it. 1-800-520-1067. The words that people use that drive you crazy, especially to the point, and clearly, I guess the only people we're going to talk to are people who care enough that they would pick up the phone and call and be on hold to get on the air. So these are all of the people that you're talking about, Kevin. Yeah. People who care so much that they need to let it be known. We'll take your calls after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. So, by the way, Kevin, we'll never stop getting emails on this topic.
Really? There are that many people that care that much?
Unbelievable. Talking about, if you're just joining us, Kevin and Bean listener Alyssa, or Alisa, I don't want to get her name wrong. That would just add insult to injury at this point. Furious that some of us were saying mayonnaise the other day instead of mayonnaise. And we got started talking off the air about tiny little things in speech, pronunciation predominantly, that just drive people crazy. The emails are unbelievable. Of course, nuclear versus nuclear is coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Sherbet versus sherbert. Frustrated versus frustrated.
What?
Frustrated?
Which I've never heard.
Who's
ever heard
that?
Frustrated?
Espresso. People who say espresso, not sure. Espresso. I cannot stand it when people say I could care less rather than I couldn't care less. I mean, there's just a million of them coming in, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. The tiniest thing that drives you crazy when you hear people say it, and we'll go as fast as we can so we can get as many calls on as we can. Why don't we start with Mike? He's on line 5 calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike. Thanks for dialing in. What's going on? What's the word?
Yo, yo.
Yo, yo.
Hey, you know what's worse? Mayonnaise is not that bad.
Okay.
It's jewelry is worse.
Jewelry.
If
jewelry.
Wants their jewelry, pronounce it right.
Wait, okay. Say it both ways. I'm confused.
It's jewelry or jewelry.
There's jewelry is correct. A lot of people say jewelry, and the close cousin of that is realtor that people say instead of realtor, which is correct.
Yeah,
wow.
That's so annoying.
Close, you guys.
No, they both have extra syllables. Right. People are adding extra syllables.
Listen to Bean. These are his people, man.
Wow.
Bean loves these people.
This
is all about
it.
Oh, yeah.
No, listen. Realtor is correct. Realtor is what a lot of people say. Jewelry is correct. Jewelry is what a lot of people say. They're adding
so
extra syllables.
Close.
Lisa's looking to me like, how could this make anyone angry?
Let's try Adrian on line 4, who apparently has a complaint about the Kevin and Bean Show. Adrian, what's up?
My biggest problem is the way Ralph has infected the rest of you and saying the way he says horrible instead of horrible. There is an O in horrible, right?
It's an East Coast, West Coast
thing. It's a Philadelphia thing when he says horrible like that, you mean?
Yeah.
I think both really are correct.
But now the rest of you are pronouncing it that way, too. Lisa, I've definitely heard you
I've
say
said horrible.
Horrible.
I can guarantee you from now on I'm going to.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that.
I don't think it's actually wrong.
I don't know. It's probably not wrong, but...
Then shut your pie hole!
It's just an infection that Ralph brought from Philadelphia.
I hear
you.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that.
Not with just that.
Thank
either,
you, Adrian.
By the way.
Donna writes in, people, it's not a mute point, it's a moot point. That is certainly one that you hear a lot. Folks, says Scott, it's library, not library. 1-800-520-1067. How about Ron on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show? Hey, Ron, what's the word that drives you crazy?
Well, I don't know if it drives me crazy, but I kind of look at the people like, are you really seriously saying this when they say Pacific instead of specific?
Really? People say that?
Pacific like the ocean?
Oh. All the time. I tend to get it from, black people. I don't know if it's an Ebonic thing or what, but I look at them like, are you sure you want to be Atlantic, too?
I've never heard that.
I have heard that.
I've never heard that either. Like, I'm looking for a Pacific shirt like that?
I'm sorry?
And like, is that the usage, being specific? Pacific?
Yes, yeah, okay. Exactly. Well, they just use it interchangeably, exactly right.
Yeah. Huh.
I think a lot of people, I mean, think about this. A lot of people use words that they've heard, but they've never seen them spelled. So they just kind of... You know, they kind of duplicate what the sound is.
Sure.
Here's another one we've gotten from more than one listener. Kurt writes in, I hate it when people say supposedly, which, of course, isn't a word. It's supposedly. All right. Let's try Jeremy.
Who do you people talk to? I've never heard that one either.
Oh, I've heard
supposedly,
that one.
Very common.
Wow.
Let's try Jeremy. He's got one I've never heard of.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hi.
Hi,
Lisa May.
Hello.
Hey, my mother-in-law, she does immigration, and she says, passport.
Wait. She's in the field of immigration?
Yes.
So she says it a lot.
Passport?
Oh, yeah. Passport. As like, you know, you pass the port, I guess, and get your passport stamp. But she says passport. So my wife also says it. I mean, she's born here. I guess it's common in the Latino community because I heard other people say passport.
That's how I'm going to start saying it. I'm keeping a list, people, just so you know. I'm keeping a list, and I'm going to use them all.
All right, let's try Carla, another confusing one on line one. Hi, Carla. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi, everybody. Hi,
Hi.
Lisa.
Hi.
Actually, I don't have a word that annoys me. I have a word that annoys my husband.
Okay.
And it's when I say everybody.
Everybody.
Or anybody. It drives them absolutely nuts, and we've gotten into arguments over it.
Wait, because you put
so,
too
so
much?
You're going with body instead of buddy.
Exactly.
Wow.
And he just cannot hate me anymore when I say that word. He wants to choke me.
Wow.
We've gotten into arguments over it.
But are you like me in that now you try to work that in as much as you can?
Oh, of course.
That's my girl.
Oh, my God. Every time I get a chance, I say everybody or anybody. And it drives me.
Let me ask you this question. Why are you making, I don't care, but why are you making that choice?
Because it bugs
him. Because it drives them nuts.
Okay.
And we've gotten into one big, huge argument over it. And, you know, after that, I just said, oh, well, I'm going to continue with
it. I like
it.
I like it.
I'm right.
You're not right, but I like it.
I'm right.
I mean, you're wrong, but you're doing the right thing is what I'm saying. All right. Thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call. Here's another email from Mary Lou. The one that drives her crazy is people who use the word, instead of across, they use across.
Oh, I don't like that either.
Let's try...
I don't like it. It's pretty...
Let's try Jason.
You
Jason is on line four. Hang on, I need to put some mayonnaise on my sandwich while we talk to Jason. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Many, many people say for all intensive purposes...
Probably
but it's for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, I can see that. That's yeah. But what are you? I mean, what are you going to do? Honestly, David, you don't. Do you correct them?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. You're dead. Thank you for calling.
By the way, no one's brought up axe, which I'm really surprised. Axe instead of ask, which is also something that you see quite a bit.
Let's go to Amy. This is a strange one. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
Hi, Amy.
My number one pet peeve is when people say roof. Instead of roof, it's not a dog. It's your top of your house. It's a roof, not
yeah,
a roof.
Yeah, roof.
Roof. A lot of people say. Yeah.
Yeah. And
apparently, you've been hanging out with the King of Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah. And kindergarten versus kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
Sure.
Guys, we've opened up a big old can of worms here, haven't we?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call. Lindsay writes in, very funny. I want to literally kill the people who misuse the word literally. So. All right. We could go on all day, but maybe we should we leave it there? Because obviously we got a million of them.
Yeah, we could go on all day, but all of you need a life. Right? You need
Line
to
take, up.
There's more important things in the world.
But some people also need to read a book once in a while so they can see
Possibly,
how words are spelled.
Sure.
That
I'm saying there are other things to focus on, like Valentine's Day. That's coming up.
We're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Am I allowed to promote what we're starting to give away on Monday, by the way? Are we allowed to mention that?
Oh. I think you can tease it.
Oh. All right. Here's what I'll say. Valentine's Day is coming up next
week
weekend?
From Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. From Sunday. Mm-hmm. There's a little something we like to do every year around Valentine's Day, and we're going to be doing it again next week. So tune in. If you're single, tune in Monday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show for your chance to be there with us. All right. Matt Money Smith from Miami. He's there for the Super Bowl. We'll talk to him coming up in a few minutes. Ralph's got the showbiz beat right now, though.
Yeah. Here's this thing. Taylor Swift can't sing.
Yes, she can.
And
I always thought she could. She just didn't sound very good on the Grammys.
Yeah, I mean, everybody. Her. That happens to a lot of people.
No, you never?
No. Okay. She's got a reputation for being horrible.
Horrible.
Live.
Look at you.
Okay.
Even in her own concerts. This isn't just the Grammys.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, she's got a rep for being bad.
Okay.
And it's starting to create a little bit of a backlash. Entertainment Weekly magazine reports on the fact that... Stevie Nicks and Taylor Swift did that duet, of course, for the Grammys.
Yeah, it was
on
terrible.
Rihanna.
Thank God that song came back.
And when they were rehearsing it, people were like looking at each other at the Staples Center again. Really? 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 And then, of course, she went on live on the telecast and sounded off-key and flat. And so now her management has to step in because there's been a bit of a backlash on her.
Okay.
Saying, oh, her earpiece wasn't working properly. She couldn't hear herself properly. That's why she was flat and off-key.
Okay.
Okay. Now, then people are starting to come back saying, well, what about the fact that in concert she's often off key and flat? Is that the earpiece too? So now, the CEO of her record label has released this statement, and it's spectacular. She is the voice of this generation. She speaks directly to her fans, and they speak directly back to her. This is not American Idol.
This is not a competition of getting up and seeing who can sing the highest note. This is about a true artist and writer and communicator. It's not about technically perfect performances.
Okay.
So just get off her case.
She's such an artist. She doesn't have to be on key, is what he's saying.
Let her sing off key because she is communicating.
She's speaking to her audience. She's an entertainer and she misses her audience.
That's correct.
Basically,
so it's not about being good, is what you're saying.
So meanwhile, Kelly Clarkson, who was one of those American Idol contestants who got on stage and sang high notes and other notes,
sure,
took offense and released this following statement.
Love it.
Dear Scott Borchetta, who is the name of the CEO of Taylor Swift's record label, I understand you defending your artist, obviously, because I have done the same pass for artists I like, including Taylor. So you can see why it's upsetting to read you attack American Idol for simply producing vocalists who hit the high notes. Thank you for that Captain Obvious sense of humor. Because you know what? We not only hit the high notes, you forgot to mention we generally hit the right notes as well.
Yes, no, sir. You didn't.
She goes on for another paragraph or so of just slapping this guy down.
Love it.
To which I say, good for you, Kelly Clarkson.
Look, there's no question, and no one would argue, that Kelly Clarkson is not a better singer than Taylor Swift. She just is. I mean, she's a much better vocalist
Absolutely.
Than Taylor Swift is.
Yeah. Yeah. But she sings all the notes right, not just the high ones.
Yeah, that's very funny.
Which is helpful when you're singing, is to hit the notes.
Is there going
to
be a boxing match anytime?
Bring it on. It's mud future. Wrestling.
Well, they'll never be in the same weight class, I'll tell you those two.
How dare you!
Hey, for folks who, I just found the clip, for folks who did not watch the Grammys and don't know what started the controversy of her performance, I've got a little bit of Taylor Swift with Stevie Nicks on Rihanna. This is from the Grammys. You tell me what. Honestly, I think she sounded fine. A lot of people said Taylor's off key here. What do you think? Honestly, to me, she sounds fine.
Sounds perfect.
I don't know the problem,
as that build-up got longer and longer and longer, Kevin mouthed to me, "It's Wing." Yeah. I think we all saw that coming right down the pike.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Rob. I have to tell you this. I was in the dentist yesterday, and I had a bunch of equipment in my mouth. And, How Deep Is Your Love came on, and I started laughing so hard I was spitting like metal pieces out of my mouth. I couldn't help it.
Those lucky employees.
lucky people. We mentioned last hour at Bean is Bad.
Yeah.
Because Elizabeth Banks, who we all adore, by the way.
Yeah.
She is just a super talented, gorgeous, gorgeous gal. She was in most recently, I guess, Zach and Miri Make a Porno with Kevin Smith and Seth Rogen. She's just adorable. So she has a Twitter account, and she tweets on her Twitter account, Showbiz Lesson number 241, when someone sprays something in your face, consider closing your eyes. Apparently she was on the set and got some makeup or hairspray or something in her eyes. Now, Bean is known as the interview killer here on the show because he'll say wildly inappropriate things and, you know, and cheese people off, and then we lose guests that way.
Happens.
Now, he's the Twitter killer as well because he had to tweet back. Literally, this is like minutes after she posted this. regarding the statement, once again, she says, when someone sprays something in your face, consider closing your eyes. Bean writes back, but especially in porn showbiz.
What?
Oh, Bean.
So Ernesto, our listener, sent me that Twitter killer, and I said, he's got a thing at Elizabeth Banks. He's trying to drive her off our show, because remember what he asked her when we were interviewing her live on the show about her movie Slither.
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
Where are you going with this, Bean?
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? What did you do back then?
Oh, my God.
Come on, Bean. Why do you want her not to come on our show?
What do you have against Elizabeth Banks? Why are you trying to drive her out of our lives?
I love her, and I suspect that I was a little bit flustered because of how much I love and admire her and her work. That was awful. Wow. I'm not going to try to defend it, although I hope Kelly Clarkson will write a letter on my behalf.
Wow. What did you do? Did you chase snakes? Or what did you do back then?
By the way,
in the oldie Smither times.
I think that was the beginning of how I got to be the why guy. I think that was the clip that started it.
Really?
Yeah.
And I love that she mocked you as well.
Yes,
What stuff did I do in Slither?
No, it may have been the worst question she's ever been asked as a professional actress. That's true.
Well, at least you compounded by hopping on her tweets now and offending her that way.
Yeah. Guys, I'm bad.
Especially porn showbiz.
Yeah.
I'm bad. I can't deny it.
Stop being bad.
It's
fight the impulse.
It's because I'm trying, guys. I could just give up and say
please,
and do nothing,
please.
But I'm trying
I'm
here. I'm in here
you
trying.
To give up.
Next time Bean talks about how busy he is, let's remind him he's just hanging out, waiting for Elizabeth Banks to post things so he can make smarmy porn comments about it. Don't tell me you're busy.
She talked about closing her eyes when you get stuff sprayed
yeah,
in your face. How could
it.
I not? How could I not say something about that?
The same way all of us would not and could not.
Mike, you've got my back, right?
Yeah,
Mike's torn. Sorry.
I mean, it is funny.
Because he's as emotionally retarded
no,
as being.
Yeah. Because you could see where the comedy was coming from. The joke wasn't funny, though. It could have been said in 100 different ways, maybe, that were funny,
that
but it
was
wasn't.
Porn show business.
Come on.
Today's, we're just saying try.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor, director, comedian Christopher Guest. Famously from all those movies he makes with
all those Christopher Guest movies.
All those ones.
Yeah. He was on Saturday Night Live, too. A lot of people forget he was a cast member on Saturday Night Live with Billy Crystal back in the day.
Asshole.
62 years old today. Tim Meadows, speaking of Saturday Night Live, is 49 years old. Jennifer Jason Leigh, very talented actress, is 48. Laura Linney, boy, good day for actresses. She's 46. Duff McKagan, she was on MTV, right? I used to watch her all the time.
No,
Duff.
That's...
Oh, I love Duff. She was,
that was
great.
That's Duffy.
That's very different.
He of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 46. Singer Bobby Brown celebrates his 41st birthday inexplicably. How did he live to be 41?
I don't know.
And this is just for Kevin. Soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo celebrates his 25th birthday today. Kevin has such a crush on him. You have no idea.
He's a pretty good soccer player.
That's what it is. It's his soccer playing.
He's a
wink,
pretty...
wink. In porn soccer.
Yeah, sir.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It's Friday. That means next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, the Week in Rage with our friend Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Thank you. Not a lot of enthusiasm for that, by the way, I noticed. Also, Ralph has the movie beat coming up and some unbelievable tape of Lyndon Johnson talking about his nuts. President Lyndon Johnson talking about his balls coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, the world's attention is on Miami, Florida, or as they insist on calling it on the TV, South Florida. For some reason, they don't like the word Miami on TV. I don't know why that is, but Super Bowl 44 is happening this weekend. Matt Money Smith and his friend Petros have been down there all week long. Let's see if he's conscious, alive, and able to talk to us. Hey, Money.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
How you feeling? Long week, dude?
We're just cruising over the Tuttle Causeway right now. Miami, the only major metropolis founded by a woman, Miss Tuttle. In Miami, we're cruising to the spot where all the dudes are hanging out, Radio Row. And yeah, maybe we stayed out a little late last night. Maybe you can hear that in my voice. Maybe that's the average of 9 drinks per evening I've been having.
How long have you been there?
We're doing okay. We're doing all right. You know, Lyndon Johnson, you talk about his balls. You know what he was famous for? He would start his day in the crapper, and he would force his staff to come into the bathroom as he dictated the day's agenda to him
really?
While he was doing his business. Yes,
really? He's got to multitask during that?
Yeah. Old Lyndon Baines, that's what he used to do. That's how he rolled.
And nobody could say no because he's the president.
Exactly.
Love
exactly.
Not only was he the president, he was freaking Lyndon Baines Johnson.
That's right. Money, Kevin was asking how long you guys have been down there and if you're likely to survive through the Super Bowl.
We've been here for 3.5 months now. And we've interviewed an average of 7 football Hall of Famers every single day. It really is a remarkable
week. Wow.
We've been here since Monday, and the most people, you could see the influx of fans yesterday. I mean, that's when the city really started to get populated, and, you know, you'd turn your head, and everywhere you look, you'd either see some fat white guy in a Dallas Clark jersey or someone that looked like they had a little bit of culture to them in a Drew Brees jersey.
Now, because of the geography of where Florida is in relation to the cities that are sending teams to the Super Bowl, is it kind of overwhelmingly Saints fans? You got a lot more New Orleans fans there?
Yeah, I don't think it really has to do with the proximity. I mean, I'm sure it does make it easier that someone can hop in a car and cruise over from New Orleans, and it wouldn't be too long of a drive. That's still a flight, though, I think. What it is, and we were hanging out with some guys from New Orleans last night, and they said, you know, to some degree, this is almost just a celebration regardless of the outcome. You know, the franchise that was the face of futility in the NFL for so long has finally made it to the game, and they're celebrating, you know, the fact that accomplishment was made, as opposed to coming here to watch a game, to see a championship. It really is kind of a celebration of the city of New Orleans.
Are the Saints able to win that game?
Yeah, they're playing in it. I think they're able to.
Will they?
I do like them. I do. I think seems like a lot of people we talk to just kind of think that, that Peyton Manning is too good and the Colts are, you know, because of him, really are likely to win this game. But I think the Saints' offense is just as tough to deal with, and the Indy defense has not been that great all season, and they really have not faced an offense as potent as the Saints. I mean, the one game they had that you could really say was comparable was against New England, and they gave up nearly 500 yards and 34 points. So I think, you know, unfortunately for the Saints, it just seems like when you have Peyton Manning taking the snaps, no matter what you, you know, if you score 35, he'll get them to score 36. You score 50, he'll score 51.
Right, right.
So I think it's a matter of whether or not that defense can cause some turnovers like they did against the Vikings despite being severely outplayed. And that's probably the way they're going to have to win. Drew Brees is going to have to put up something like 30 to 35 points, and they're going to have to create some turnovers.
We're talking to Matt Money Smith, nationally syndicated sports host from Miami. Of course, he's been in town broadcasting his show all week long for the Super Bowl. How has, for folks who are listening, and the vast majority have never been to a Super Bowl or spent time in a Super Bowl city ahead of the big game, how crazy is it? Is it parties everywhere all the time, Money?
Yeah, I mean, it escalates as the week goes on and you get deeper into Thursday, Friday, and like I said, it begins to get more populated, which means there's more parties. Like, this is the great thing about the parties, though, at the Super Bowl. Like, I'm in the can at the Hooters, and they staple the newspaper to the wall of the agenda of everything that's going on.
Right.
And, you know, like, the headliner party is Nick Lachey and Jimmy Johnson.
What?
And they're throwing a party together. I mean, talk about covering your bases.
Wow.
I mean, that's the strange thing, is they have all these weird pairings for these parties.
Yeah.
And there's like seven of them a night. So you tend to be spread out. It's kind of like you look around and you try to assess who else is at the party with you and whether or not you're at the right party. You know, like the other night we looked around and we saw Andrew Siciliano and we said, yeah, we're at the wrong party.
What are the rappers doing this week? Are there any Jay-Z parties or Lil Wayne? I mean, come on, give me some good stuff here.
Yeah, Snoop had one party last night. Diddy had another. Diddy's party last night, I mean, you want to talk about clever and really, really weaving those words together. He called it Models in Bottles.
Models in Bottles.
I see, because, you know, the bottle service.
Yeah.
I see.
And the hot chick.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
How was that party, Money? How was that?
I didn't go. I sat at a table at the Delano and just, you know, they were bringing me glasses filled with gin. like a carafe filled with gin and ice, and I was just putting those back.
Money, yeah. We got a report from somebody that told us that you and P were wearing an LMFAO shirt, I'm in Miami, bitch, and that
yes.
Can't be true.
Well, LMFAO has been on loop. I mean, if SA, who's driving right now, were to turn the radio up,
yeah,
which is here, P's iPod plugged in on loop with LMFAO.
Wow.
I mean, screaming it out the windows all night. Yes, there were photos of us wearing T-shirts that said, I'm in Miami, bitch. And it's a great thing. We have shirts when we get home that say, I was in Miami.
Yeah, oh, you got all your bases covered.
So we can keep that bitch Miami party going.
All right, let me ask you one more question, Money, before we run out of time. And thank you for squeezing us in, because we know how busy you are, especially today. You've been a fan of the NFL since you're old enough to know what the NFL is. Who was the most exciting player or coach or interview that you had this week of a Hall of Famer that you can't believe you got to talk to?
You know, the weird thing is they all, it comes in waves, you know. So yesterday we sit down and the first people we talk to are Joe Montana and Dwight Clark, you know, the two ends of the catch. And right after that, we had Jim Kelly, Hall of Famer. Right after that, we had Troy Aikman, who just kind of came to our table and looked at us and said, hey, I like you guys. I heard you interviewing Sean Merriman. Is it cool if I sit down? I mean, Troy Aikman. Then after that, you got Archie Manning, Hall of Famer. And it really is crazy. It just keeps coming at you, and they're just sitting right across from them. They're all very good dudes and nice guys and engaging conversations.
I heard
it's just a bit surreal.
I heard you went crazy at the Mike Ditka party. is that true?
You know what? I think Ditka did have a party last night, and surprised I wasn't invited.
That's what you guys broke up. All right. Final question, and we have to ask, are you into making a prediction? You want to give me a team and a score here, Money? We'll see how you do Monday.
Yeah, why not? I think I'm going to go. I'm going to take the Saints, and I think the Saints are going to win by. I'm going to say between 3 and 7 points. It'll be a kind of a close game, but I think there's just some sort of some sort of magic in the air, you know, and this could be the time for all of us to run out and get giant fleur-de-lis and tape on our shirts and freak out like we're Saints fans.
I'm telling you what, the best place in the world to be if the Saints win that game is going to be New Orleans on Sunday night. Can you even imagine what that town's going
to
do?
Yeah. You know what? You're going to have to call P at this very time a week from now because he's going to be in New Orleans. He's going there on Thursday. So you'll have to check in with him. I think he'd be more than happy to talk to you guys.
Yeah, if he's alive, sure.
Well, have a great weekend out there. Enjoy the game, and thanks for coming on. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, dude. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
It is traditionally one of the emptiest movie weekends of the year. Super Bowl weekend, so you hardly see any big films being released this weekend because no one wants to burn their opening weekend on a weekend where most people don't go to the movies.
That makes sense.
Most people are at parties, certainly Sunday, and sometimes Saturday as well. So we don't have a lot to choose from this weekend, but we have some interesting choices. For example...
Do we have Avada?
We don't have Avada, no. Oh. But Red Riding was a very popular BBC miniseries in England, and now it is being released on the big screen here in the United States. It was a television miniseries in the UK. It was it's an interesting premise. It is about a series of gruesome murders that take place in the 80s, and one of the cops on the case starts to realize that it has a lot of similarities with some murders that take place in the 70s. So it's sort of a flashback of these cops trying to find out who the real perpetrator of these murders is over a series of decades. So the first film is called Red Riding 1974, which is that story in the 70s. Another film called Red Riding 1980. And another film called Red Riding 1983 that sums up the whole story. So you get to see it in a trilogy of movies on the big screen.
So they're all three together now?
Yes.
Okay.
Three different movies that you can see together in limited release this weekend. So you may want to check that out. Also opening up this weekend, what could be worse than being stuck on a chairlift at a ski resort for a week? Well, seeing a movie about being stuck on a chairlift at a ski resort for a week, I think, would be worse.
Oh, my God.
That is the premise behind the new horror film Frozen. Three snowboarders become stranded on a chairlift at a ski resort, and they realize that no one will be back for a week.
A whole week?
What will they do? They'll freeze to death, and they have to make horrible choices because they have horrible choices to make about being on a chairlift. Really? Are we just out of all precarious situations that this is the last one we can make a movie about?
Yeah.
It's just dumbass. It's just dumbass. That's what this movie is.
I haven't seen the trailer for this, but what happens to them? I mean, are they literally just sitting there for a week, or do bad things happen while they're in the chair?
They try to
escape, and they jump down, and there's wolves under them trying to bite them. And if you take your glove off and you hold on to the metal of the chair rail, your hand freezes to the chair rail, and you have to rip the skin off.
So this is kind of like open water on a mountain, basically.
Yes, it's
open
snow.
This does for skiing what Jaws did for being in the water.
Yeah, right. That's what it says in the commercial.
Take it easy.
We'll do for snowboarding what Jaws did for going to the beach. Well, F you, douchebag movie makers. Here is a series of edited clips from the trailer of the new horror film Frozen.
Last run, gotta make it.
No one knows that we're up here.
This is so messed up.
Here all week. We're gonna die.
Oh my God! Oh my God! I don't wanna die again! Help!
Yeah.
Okay.
So stupid.
I am making a movie called Gas Station Bathroom. My new horror movie. I hope you all check it out.
With a guy for the weekend?
Trapped in a gas station bathroom for a weekend. And it smells in there. Seriously.
Wow, that's good.
Dear John opens this weekend. Nope. Oh, all right. Seriously, with this Nicholas Sparks, this guy has got to be put down.
Who is this?
He is the John Grisham of sappy romantic novels. He cranks one out.
Is he the Notebook guy?
He wrote The Notebook. He wrote, what was the one with a message in the bottle?
Message in a bottle.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
with Kevin Costner. He's responsible for all these sappy romantic movies that made out of his sappy romantic books, and Dear John is no different. This is a romantic drama about a soldier who falls in love with a young co-ed while he's home on leave. But then he's got to go back, man.
Aww.
He's got to go back into service for his country, and he's got to leave his love behind. Will their love survive, Kevin? Will it?
I don't really care.
What if they get caught on a mountainside in a ski lift?
We're here all week.
Then will their love survive?
I don't want to die up here.
Channing Tatum flexes his acting muscles. And Amanda Seyfried. Seyfried? I don't know. That blonde chick from Big Love. She's in this as well. This is strictly for the broads out there. Here's a little scene. This is where Amanda Seyfried is writing John, her soldier boyfriend, a letter from Dear John.
Dear John, 2 weeks together. That's all it took. 2 weeks for me to fall in love with you. Now we have 1 year apart. But what's 1 year apart after 2 weeks like that together? You made me a promise. A promise I know you'll keep. So I only want one more promise from you during this time we spend apart. Tell me everything. Write it all down, John. Scribble it in a notebook. Type it out. Email it to me. That way, before we know it, I'll see you soon then.
Oh, you.
Yeah. Dear Savannah, I know what you want me to do for you, but I'm a little busy not getting shot in the ass. So I don't have time to write everything down into a notebook, type it up, and then email it to your lazy ass.
Didn't he just bang her for 2 weeks because he's going to war, right?
My boots are filled with sand, and it's 194 degrees in the desert. I can no longer pee because I have no fluid in my body. Shut the F up, you selfish whore.
Yeah.
So you'd recommend
That's
this
John's
movie?
Response.
Yeah. Hey, you said it was for broads. Broad, you going to go see it?
I'm not going.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
Not everything
you know
is
you're
for
going.
Me.
Yes, it
I
is.
Know,
Only
I'm
the
not.
Bad stuff.
It's not bad enough for
it's
Lisa
not
to go
bad
see. And maybe this will be bad enough for you, Lisa. From Paris with Love, John Travolta plays a super duper American spy who has to take Jonathan Rhys-Meyers under his wing, and they have to stop a terrorist attack in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
John Travolta's a rogue agent. He plays by his own rules. He's an outlaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. His name is Charlie Wax. And at one point, there's a joke they make where he says, wax on, wax off.
No, they don't.
He says it.
Nope, that doesn't happen.
And John Rhys-Meyers says, what are you, the Karate Kid?
That doesn't happen.
It happens.
It doesn't happen.
On the big screen, my friends. Here's a scene where John Travolta is making sure that no evidence of their secret mission gets left behind in From Paris with Love.
Wait, stop. I gotta get my stuff.
They knew we were coming. I'm sure it's stripped by now.
Look, my prints are all over that car. The cops will trace it back to the embassy and to me in no time. Okay, let me get my head around this. You want to stop in the middle of our getaway so you can grab your plates, wipe your prints, and grab some files. I'll be quick. All right, quicker than this. What the?
Work for you?
See, he blows it up, so there's no evidence
Whoa.
Left. Work for you? That's how I handle it. I'm a man of action. I'm Charlie Wax.
He doesn't say wax on, wax off,
He
though.
Says it.
That doesn't happen.
This is the director from Taken, which looks like a much better film than this. It looks like the guy's slumming now. And John Travolta,
He's scary when he's playing the bad guy.
He's scary. Well, he's a good bad guy in this one. He's an American agent. He's supposed to be a good guy. But still, when he's that over-the-top action guy, I'm scared. I'm as scared as if I was trapped on a ski lift on a mountain resort
Oh,
for
it's
a
not
week.
Possible to be that
I'm
scared.
I'm that scared. Yeah, as I mentioned, it's not a great weekend for movies. Maybe you just want to nestle in with a bowl of chips and watch the Super Bowl. Maybe that's your best option. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's quarter to ten. It's
quarter to ten?
I wish.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, where we have a lot of things that we look forward to every Friday. We hope you do, too. Ralph, of course, brings the movie beat, which we just heard. Adam Carolla coming up with A Week in Rage in minutes. And every Friday about this time, we do A Moment with Lyndon Johnson, which is weird. I know it's not a feature you expect, because the band's been dead for 35 years, but... Sadly, there are people who don't recognize the name. Lyndon Johnson was the president of the United States for most of the 1960s, and I guess that they are periodically going back to the tapes of chief executives recorded in the Oval Office and releasing parts of them. And they had a new one came out this week that featured President Johnson. That's fantastic.
So happy about this. This here's how I judge politicians. If I would do that, then they shouldn't be in office.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like that's a good way to judge it. But this one came out, and Lyndon Johnson is on the phone from, sounds like the Oval Office.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
With Haggar Slacks. And apparently they sent him some pants that he likes, and he wants to order some more.
Okay.
Now, it seems to me that they would have somebody to do that for him.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought is, under what circumstances do you ever need to get the president involved in any kind of a tailoring issue?
Right.
It seems like there have to be people in the White House who take care of stuff like that.
But apparently not. So he is talking to the guy that makes the pants, and he's telling him, you know, what he needs.
Y'all made me some real lightweight slacks. He just made up on his own, sent to me 3 or 4 months ago. It's a kind of a light brown and a light...
Sounds like he just ran a marathon, too, by the way.
Yeah.
He's really out of breath. Was he fat?
No,
he wasn't fat. But imagine being the guy from the slacks company that's being told, hey, the president of the United States wants to talk to you. You would think, oh, my God, what kind of trouble am I in? And am I getting audited? What's going on here?
Green, rather soft green and soft brown. And they're real lightweight. Now, I need about 6 pairs for summer wear. Almost powder color, like powder on a lady's face.
Okay, really, no one can take care of those details. It's kind of like a powder green, like on a lady's face. Now, this is where it gets good, because the pockets aren't deep enough. Because the president carries a knife.
Oh.
As all good Texans do, by the way.
And the knife comes out of the pockets. That's not acceptable. And then he starts going into the crotch area. And that is, this is the best thing I've ever heard.
The pockets, when you sit down in the chair, the knife and your money comes out. So I needed at least another inch in the pockets. Yeah. Now, another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang.
Okay, good. All right.
Where your nuts hang.
But by the way, Kevin, if you could have the president of the clothes company that you like custom make stuff for you, I guess you'd do it, right?
Sure.
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, like when you went out and had to buy all that underwear because they were getting ready to discontinue it. If you had the power, if you were the president, you'd get that dude on the phone and say, hey, make me up 25 cases. You'd have done it.
Right, but am I the guy that makes that call if I'm the president? Isn't there anything else he should be doing rather than talking about where his nuts hang?
No, because then people like us get a hold of this tape.
It's awesome.
It's not like Vietnam was on fire at this point when President Johnson is making this call about his slacks, by the way.
And by the way, this guy makes jean slacks for a living. He knows what the crotch area is. He doesn't need the further explanation of where your nuts hang. It's unbelievable. So then he goes on.
It's always a little too tight. So when you make them up, give me an inch that I can let out there because they cut me. It's just like riding a wire fence.
Okay, so apparently he was having issues with the pants cutting his nutsack.
All right.
When I gain a little weight, they cut me under there, so leave me, you never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper ends.
He is a pig!
He was fighting that burp for about half of that sentence, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You could feel it coming, you knew it was coming, but and finally he's just like, forget it, I'm just going to burp.
Leave me, you never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't leave me about it. An inch from where the zipper ends, round under my back of my bunghole.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Go to kevinandbean.com. You can listen to him talking about where his nuts hang and about his bunghole. It's the best thing I've ever. Thank you, Lisa. It's the world famous K Rock at 7:54.
Adam Carolla coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Get it on.
His former roommate, Ralph Garman, is here right now with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Get it on! Get it on. Got no choice to get it on. Get it on.
Let's talk about show business, shall we? Alex Rodriguez, although he's a baseball player, has a lot to do with show business.
Yeah.
You know, in regards to his penis.
Sure.
Since he broke up
with actresses, right?
Since he broke up with Kate Hudson. The New York Post says he's running around like, and this is their quote, man possessed in terms of his dating skills. Well, it is the off season.
Sure.
So he's got that going for him.
Nothing but energy.
Apparently, he has been seeing at least three models from Miami, says the newspaper. One Manhattan socialite brunette, and apparently is knocking it out with Madonna again.
That's the worst choice is Madonna.
So that's his schedule.
Imagine how many chicks you get if you're an athlete who's that good looking and that famous.
And an athlete who doesn't have to put out any energy for his sport.
Right.
So you got nothing but you got nothing but energy.
Yeah, that's right. Let's not overlook richest baseball player ever.
Yeah. Doesn't hurt to have a couple
bucks.
There's
that.
Sure. But even if he wasn't rich, he'd still be pulling the same amount of
I think Mike's right, though. The $252 million contract didn't hurt him.
I think it's dangerous. I think it's worse. I think you're better off being a famous athlete with not as much money because people aren't trying to soak it from you.
That makes sense.
I mean, you're going to get the same amount of women, but now you're getting gold diggers on top of the ones who are just groupies.
Yeah, true.
And Madonna apparently has broken up with her little 23-year-old boy toy, Jesus Luz.
Ay, ay, ay.
Didn't she just make him get plastic surgery or something?
She gave him Invisalign braces to straighten out his teeth.
Wasn't that a couple days
ago?
That
was her. Apparently that was her idea.
Well, all right.
But now the Daily Mail, the UK tabloid, is saying he was spotted hanging out by himself in the on the shores of Ipanema, the beach in Rio de Janeiro, and he was hanging out with quite a few smoking hot girls, and Madonna was nowhere to be seen.
Hmm.
What kind of girls, Ralph?
Nope. The girl from Ipanema.
Don't feel like have to.
Had to.
But don't feel like you have to, Ralph.
She was tall and tan, young and lovely.
I bet she was.
Britney Spears wants her own life back.
Nope.
We've seen what you do with it.
No, thank you. Apparently she's upset because her father is still running things. Jamie Spears is still in charge of her. He's got conservatorship. I can never say that word. Conservatorship over her finances and her legal issues. But apparently she's cheesed up because she found out that she is getting $1,500 a week in allowance.
Right.
That's part of the deal. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, her dad, Jamie, is making $4,000 a week for being her conservator.
Oh, really?
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
He's nice. Making an extra $2,500. Wow. That's a pretty good deal.
I would.
And he doesn't even have to lip sync.
That's right. Doesn't he have to shake his doughy body on stage at any point? Is Spencer Pratt responsible for Heidi Montag's drastic plastic surgery?
Of course.
In Touch magazine says it was Spencer that pressured his wife into making such a change in her appearance by constantly making comments about how she would be perfect if she did this or that or looked like this or that.
Sounds about right.
It sounds exactly right.
Yeah.
Reportedly, Heidi finally took everything he said to heart and had the surgery to make her husband happy, according to friends.
Is there anyone that you guys have heard, or do you think she looks better after the plastic surgery than she did before?
No, I don't think she looks better at all.
I think she looks a little better.
Really?
It's plastic.
But it also looks like she's going to age very poorly from this point out.
Like, she looks like she's been reconstructed to me.
Yeah.
As if she had an accident and she had work done. And they did a great job putting her face back together after it went through the windshield. But you can tell it's just not right. That's the look she has now.
That's a perfect way to describe
Maybe
it.
That's
like,
what
wow,
Spencer
they did
wanted.
A nice job.
Carrie Underwood is stretching artistically.
Oh.
She is going from music now to acting. She has landed her first major movie role in an upcoming movie called Soul Surfer. She will play Bethany Hamilton. Does that name sound familiar to you at all?
No.
Sure.
This is the girl who was the competitive surfer who lost her arm in a shark attack a few years back.
Oh.
Carrie Underwood will play the surfer who got attacked by a shark and lost her arm.
She looks like her.
Yeah. But did anyone bother to see if Carrie Underwood can act in any way before they gave her this role? I think I'd rather have a shark eat my arm off than watch Carrie Underwood in this role, quite frankly.
She may have auditioned, though. They may have checked that out before they gave her the role.
Helen Hunt and Dennis Quaid will play her parents.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. She is singing the national anthem at Sunday's Super Bowl, by the way.
You, Mr. Know-it-all.
Matthew Fox says that he has a certain feeling of power these days.
Okay.
Because he claims he is the only person in the entire cast of Lost who knows how the cult hit will end.
He knows how it ends.
He knows how it ends. Apparently, producers and writers came to him and explained to him his role in the final episode. It's what they're currently still shooting, the final season. And he says it gives him a little bit of a power trip, since he's the only guy in the cast who knows how the whole thing's going to tie together. We got to get a hold of him.
Yeah, we do.
We got to hold him down, and we got to beat him with a pillowcase full of oranges until he spills everything, because I cannot wait anymore. So good.
Yeah.
I rewatched the episode.
Oh, you did?
Week, yeah.
In 2 hours? Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff.
Make any
going
sense
on
the
there.
Second time around?
A lot of stuff going on in there. For instance, it struck me, Desmond is sitting next to Jack on the plane.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But in this new reality, I mean, that's what happens, because he never was. He wasn't on the plane the first time around.
Oh, that's right.
Remember? He was down in the hatch. He crashed there on his boat when he was trying to circumnavigate the globe with
that's
a
right.
sailboat. He landed on the island before the Oceanic crew ever landed on that
island. He was originally 108-minute
He was the guy pushing the button.
Yeah.
Now
right,
he's on
right.
the plane with Jack.
Hmm.
Right?
So what's that tell us?
That tells us that bomb being set off back in the 70s has changed a lot more, I think, than just the island. It's changed life as we know it.
Changed everything,
everything.
Everywhere.
And okay. or Desmond is still popping around through time and space. Remember, he was the first time traveler. Remember when he got zapped to the jewelry store where he
yes.
met Daniel's mom, who
right.
was the one who gave him the ring to propose to Penelope with?
Right.
And he was zapping around from location to location through time.
But he wasn't in charge of it. It just
no,
was happening.
No, he
to
was
him.
The one who was just it was just happening to him.
Yeah.
Maybe he's still just popping around the place.
Yeah.
He pops into the plane, he zips off the plane, he's all over the place.
Ralph, make your point.
There is no point to be made. I'm just saying, there's a lot going on that show. Makes you think about stuff. Because when Jack went back to his seat, he's like, hey, what happened to the guy who was sitting right here? Did you see him? There was nobody there when we were here, said Rose and her husband.
Bernard, yeah. So you think maybe he was gone? He was zapped out of the plane?
Zapped out of the plane. Zap in, wow. zap out. The zapper.
I hate to prolong this conversation because I know how frustrating it must be for people who don't watch Lost. But was Claire not on the plane? I saw her show up at the taxi cab at the end, but was she not on the plane?
I think you're supposed to be led to believe that she was on the plane, got off plane, and got into the taxi line with Hurley and everyone else, and just ended
we just
up
didn't
in that
see her. We just didn't see her in the air. Okay,
but Shannon wasn't on the plane. She's back in Australia, and right. she was the first time around. She was on the plane. Now she's not.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Cristiano Ronaldo, who plays a game called football, soccer to everyone else.
Woo! Kevin, any words for the birthday boy?
I just wanted, you're great.
Okay. Yeah. He's 25 years old today. Remember that time when you were in that game and you kicked that ball?
And you took your shirt off?
You're awesome. Bobby Brown is 41 years old today. Duff McKagan of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 46. Laura Linney is 46 years old as well. Someone sent me a scathing email demanding a bell for Laura Linney. I would have to beg to differ, I think.
Well, I got that in front of me. Jeff says he rejects me totally for not belling Laura Linney. I did consider it and decided not to. Am I wrong? I wanted to ask you guys.
She's attractive.
Very attractive.
Very
and a phenomenal
very
actress.
Talented.
Hot, though?
I don't think she's in the bell category.
I don't think she's
bell-worthy.
I think just okay. outside bell land.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Jeff, you've been denied.
She's in the suburbs of bell land, yeah. I think. She lives in the outskirts.
She can see bell land from
yeah.
there.
She
could get in her car and get there in 15, 20
yeah,
minutes, but she doesn't live there.
She can go to the Belland Mall if she needs to do some shopping or something, but it's she doesn't live in the city limits.
That's correct.
That's right. Jennifer Jason Leigh is 48.
Hey.
Actor-comedian Tim Meadows, the ladies' man. I would say do it in the butt. Remember that character?
Yeah.
Remember the ladies' man? That was a funny character. 49 years old today, and Christopher Guest, legendary actor, director, and comedian. He is 62. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Friday. Friday's always very exciting because we welcome the Ace Man and the star of AdamCarolla.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam has joined us here in the studio.
Yeah. Get it
get
on.
Get it on. I was poking around online. I've been fascinated with this series of live podcast shows you've been doing all around Southern California. And I was poking around. I saw some video of one that you did last week, I guess. And, Ralph, who has been a special guest on many of your shows, Ace, comes in and talks about the camaraderie and the feeling of the happiness and how much you all enjoy each other's company. I thought, wow, that must be just a warm and exciting evening. And I saw you bringing on comedian Alicia Tyler, and you're up on stage at the Improv, and you say, well, let's get the black chick out here and get it over with. And I thought, that's the love.
Well, it's EEOC requirement. Sure. That we throw one up every once in a while. You guys, you've been in the game long enough. I'm not going to pretend anymore.
You've had fantastic guests. You could see Adam on stage at the Ontario Improv next Wednesday. The first show is already sold out. A second 10 o'clock show has already been added, and then the following Wednesday at the Irvine Improv. But you got to see yourself the Corolla podcast. Podcast live to really enjoy it. And of course, you should be downloading it through AdamCarolla.com or iTunes. What's going on with you today, dude?
Well, I want to talk a little Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, all right.
Yeah. Got what can Adam complain about or whatever the hell we're doing this week in Rage. That's right, coming up. But first, a little Super Bowl. Just some do's and don'ts and some general thoughts about the Super Bowl.
Okay.
First off, if you're going to throw a party, have you know when you do Thanksgiving and there's the kids' table? Have a room with a TV in it and like a folding table and some nachos for the gays and the chicks and the kids that don't watch the game. Because if I have to see a guy's ass standing in front of the TV set drinking a wine cooler and wanting to know what's going on, just the general guy, you know, see, because for a lot of people, it's the biggest game of the year. And then for others, it's a party.
Right. Only.
And half the people at the party are just there because it's a party. It could be a bat mitzvah. They don't care. They're there for free food and booze, and they want to socialize. And a lot of their socializing is done literally in front of the TV set with their back turned to the TV set, talking to somebody, wrangling a kid, asking stupid questions. How long for a first down? What? How long's the field? What's going on? What's he doing now? What should he be going for two? Look, just have a separate room for the guys that aren't in the roto leagues, that aren't interested, that don't play the fantasy football, that just don't know the game, so they don't bum us out and distract us.
All right, good.
Secondly, all this week, all I've heard about is Dwight Freeney's ankle.
Yeah.
Now, first off, is it Dwight or is it Dwight? Because I feel like there's only one Steve and one Dave, but there's a Dwight and a Dwight. Are they spelled differently, or does everyone just get to say the name differently? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a Kevin. There's not a Kevin.
Right.
There's just a Kevin.
Right.
Just have a Dwight or Dwight, but let's not have one of each.
Make up your mind.
Yeah, and I don't need the expert commentary of, well, his ankle's bad, but you know he wants to go. You know he'd like to play. Well, hold on. Let me write this down. You mean he wishes he was 100% could play in the biggest game of his life? Yeah. Yes, this is the biggest game. I don't like this is the biggest game of the year. Really? Because I always argue that the third preseason game of the year is the biggest game of the year. But you say it's the Super Bowl. All right. I guess that's why you're the expert.
Yeah.
And then there's this one. You know, he's been in that hyperbaric chamber all week long. It's been iced. He hasn't been practicing. It's going to be shot up with cortisone. So if he does go, he's not going to be 100%. Really? Which I said, what do you have, Matt? 110%? 120%? Of course. He's been dragging his foot around in a walking cast and hasn't got down into a three-point stance in 2 weeks. Yes, he's not going to be 100%. Yes, he has an ankle. Is he going to play? Don't know. Hard to tell. Only he knows. Yeah. I like that one, too. Shouldn't you know?
Yeah.
Aren't you the expert? By the way, do we need any more experts telling us? Don't know. Just don't know.
Well, if they don't know, then right.
Then shut up. They need a guy coming to your house with a giant termite on his van coming into your hall going, don't know. Just don't know. There may be termites here. If there are, they're not going to be 100%. I'll tell you that. This is the biggest termite house of the year. You know, they want to be in here. They would like to be in your walls. I can tell you that right now. As a former termite, I can tell you right now. I can't speak for them, but I can tell you they would like to be in your walls right now, but I just don't know. Won't know until the lease is signed. Just won't know. Don't know until games. It's a game time decision.
Right.
Yeah. Don't need that kind of expert commentary.
There has been an unusually high amount of the Super Bowl coverage this year.
Yes. I saw them actually. They were debating yesterday. I don't remember if it was ESPN or Fox or where it was, but they were debating whether it was good or bad for him to be walking on the beach. Well, I don't know. What do you guys think that's going to do to the leg? I mean, this 2 weeks between the end of the, you know, the playoffs and the Super Bowl is killing us. It really is. Please move it back to one.
He's an NFL player. It's the biggest game of the year, and you know he wants to play in this ball game.
Those are givens.
You know he wants to play in this ball game.
Right.
Yeah, he's a competitor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't play, then the advantage goes to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if he plays, what percent will he be at, would you guess?
He'll be about 250%.
All right. We got to take a quick break here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Adam Carolla joins us every Friday. Please check out his website at adamcarolla.com, all his podcasts, and, of course, the live podcast show. We'll take a break and come back with the Week in Rage after this on the Kevin and Bean.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 24 minutes after 8 o'clock.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Our Friday guest is always the great Adam Carolla. He's here with the Week in Rage.
It's time for this week
in Rage.
Well, number three, working our way down to number one. First off, something that happened a couple times to me this week was sitting at the casting sessions for the sitcom, and various people's phones were going off. But don't worry, they had them on vibrate. But listen, a-holes, when you take a titanium phone with a full charge on the battery and set it on a thick mahogany desk in front of you and it vibrates,
yeah,
it sounds like you took an electric toothbrush and put it on a goddamn cookie sheet. It still has noise. Right. You guys understand that things that vibrate make noise?
Right.
Fire
right.
up a vibrator. Tammy, fire up your vibrator.
Lisa.
Put it against your molars. See if you can hear it. Jesus Christ. The vibrate doesn't mean it disappears. It's like when women used to bleach their mustache. You just look like Nick Nolte. It's not that we can't see it. It's a different color. Yes, vibration makes noise. And here's the deal. The casting session or the meeting or whatever it is, it's 45 minutes. Maybe it's an hour long. Leave the goddamn phone in the car. Really. And so what? It does vibrate. Who's calling? Your mom? Your wife? Your husband? You're not going to call them back that second anyway.
So what's the difference?
Just leave it outside of the effing room. What do you think? The phone's going to vibrate? You're going to look down? It's the Pope.
I was hoping he would call.
Hold on, the president's on the phone. People, I have to take this. It's my dead grandfather. Hold on, he's calling from heaven. Who's it going to be? It's going to be some. It's going to be one of your J.O. buddies. It's going to be your mom. It's going to be your dad. It's going to be somebody you don't really want to talk to. Now, you maybe they're trapped under a car. You don't know. You're just going to see it and go, oh, Christ, I got to call that bitch back. All right, I'll do it later. Let me have a beer. I'll call him at noon.
So you're saying if you're not going to pick it up anyway, turn it off.
Yes, and that it's not silent if you set it on top of a desk.
Okay,
good. All right, Jesus Christ. All right, the next thing. You know when somebody has something and they lose it, or better yet, you lose it, or you break it, or you whatever it, and someone goes, that was a gift. They get all pious on your ass, and they go, that was a gift. My feeling is if something was a gift, let it go. I mean, what I mean is if you bought a watch and you spent $5,000 for a watch and you lost it, you'd be pissed.
Right.
But if it was a gift, if your program director gave it to you, not that he'd give you a cup of coffee,
that's funny.
But I'm just saying, if it was a gift from, I don't know, your mom, your dad, your sister, if your sister gave you the watch and you lost it, no big deal. It's not as big a deal as if you're actually out the money. Like when you go to a movie, if you go to a movie and it's free, it's easy to get up and walk away. When you spend $12, you have to stay and watch it. I'm just saying, don't get all high and mighty and give me, that was a gift. People do that all the time. That coffee mug was a gift. And now it's broken and it'll never be back together again. If it's a gift, you should be able to give it away. As a matter of fact, the freer the crap, the easier it is to give away.
Yeah,
if you spend $80 on a bathrobe, you ain't giving it away. You go on a talk show and they give you a bathrobe, right out the window.
Right.
First Mexican that walks through the doors got themselves an Ellen bathrobe. All right. Number one, the Super Bowl diet. Now, see, if you watch these entertainment shows, you'll see all these chicks up there with eating disorders. You know, for those of you who are counting calories, here's what you can do. Here's the Super Bowl. And it always sounds like crap. There's never a Super Bowl diet or you know, take it easy on the booze. That's the first thing they say, and that's where they lose me. But then they do like, well, instead of guacamole and chips, you can take a bay leaf and dip it in tears. Or instead of those buffalo chicken wings, take one of those silica packets and just spit on it. It never sounds good, whatever their thing is. And here's the deal. Do you really need to diet during the Super Bowl? It's one goddamn day out of the year.
And not even the whole day. It's only
right.
4 or 5 hours.
That's right. Here's my point.
All right.
Here's my Super Bowl diet. You want to not gain an ounce and eat whatever you want and drink as much as you want on the Super Bowl? Here's what you do. Set your alarm for 6 a.m. Start running in place. Don't stop running in place until kickoff. Then when after kickoff, go sick. Buffalo chicken wings, nachos, Sam Adams, as much as you can hold down. But at the 2-minute warning, you funnel a Mickey's tall boy and vomit it all out. Have it all just all come out and then pass out for 2 days. You will actually lose weight and eat whatever you want during the course of the Super Bowl. That's my Super Bowl diet.
No,
thank you. That also sounds medically sound, I'd like to point out, too, by the way. Good advice. All right. See the Ace Man on stage with lots of special guests, including our own Ralph Garman, next Wednesday, the Ontario Improv. First show sold out, just added second show for 10 p.m. the following Wednesday at the Irvine Improv. You can get all the details at improv.com or adamcarolla.com. And don't miss his many, many outstanding podcasts. Ace, have a great weekend, man. See you
soon.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, what was that down? You heard the last 5 seconds. What was that song? What were we just listening to?
The Dirty Heads featuring Rome.
All right. That's new music here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Super Bowl weekend, of course. In about 20 minutes, we're going to be looking for especially Colts fans and Saints fans who believe that they are the key to their team prevailing at Super Bowl 44. You've got some superstition that you have to do in order for your team to win. Of course, we'll open it up to all fans of sports teams, but in particular, I'm curious if there are Saints fans and Colts fans out there who are, you know, looking for something to put in the fridge, or they got a jersey they got to wear, or a place they got to watch the game, or something like that. Because, you know, you don't want to be the fan that screws it up for your team.
Sure. This email comes in while we're talking about the Super Bowl. Dear Kevin and Bean, with the Super Bowl approaching, I'd like to hear Coach Bill Belichick talk to former Vice President Dick Cheney about what to expect on Sunday.
Done. Yeah, I think I would be interested.
You instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Bean.
Instant request.
We are always happy to accommodate instant requests here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll go first to Bill Belichick, who, of course, has coached himself in the Super Bowl a couple of times. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Yeah.
And on the other line, I believe we have the former Vice President of the United States, the Honorable Richard Cheney. Hi, Dick. have you guys met each other? Would you like to chat?
Hey, how you doing? Good. You all right?
Not a dynamic conversation.
So you're looking forward to the Super Bowl? Me? Yeah. Who do you think's gonna win? I don't know. Yeah. So? Yeah. Going to a party?
Thank you.
Yeah. You like wind chimes? No. Yeah.
These guys should have their own show.
So you, sorry you're not in the Super Bowl this year? Yeah, me too. See you. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Coach Belichick and former Vice President Dick Cheney. There it is, by request.
Before I get to showbiz news, I've got some passes to give away to Wolfman. Advanced screening of Wolfman. I can't wait to see it Thursday, the February 11th at the Grove here in Los Angeles. The movie comes out the 12th. You get to see it before anybody else. If you call now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers get a pair of passes to Wolfman.
Woof.
Woof. 852. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's a listener, Brad, listens to us online in Minnesota. He was a huge Packer fan, wearing Packer stuff all the time. Once they lost to Tampa Bay, he said, that's it. No more Packer shirts. Not allowed to wear Packer shirts on a game week. That's the kind of sports superstition we're talking about. You have a control over the destiny of your team. We're going to be taking your calls coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
I want to make a quick correction to last hour's showbiz beat.
Everything you said was not accurate?
Everything I said was wrong. The entire show was wrong. Everything I said, just reverse it.
Okay.
Actually, no. I want to correct the fact that I said Carrie Underwood is playing Bethany Hamilton in the new movie Soul Surfer.
Right. Yeah.
The female surfer who lost her arm in a shark attack a few years back.
Right.
That's what this report here says. My source says it, but my sports source has an incorrect statement in it. And actually, she is playing a small role in that movie.
Oh, she's not the star of it.
No, she plays like a teen prayer camp leader or something. a friend of the surfers.
Okay.
But not the surfer herself. Not the lead role at all.
All right.
So we don't need to be as worried about that movie as we previously were.
How much can she hurt it if she's just playing that little part,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. She's just going to come out and say, Jesus, take the wheel, and then that's it. And then she'll be off the screen. So I apologize. But the story that I was reading actually had it wrong, so that was my excuse.
Yeah.
I only use the one source, you know.
And that source is frequently wrong.
Like any good journalist, I take anything this one guy says completely verbatim and just repeat it.
Well, it's a lot of work to source every article, let's face it, before it goes out. Producer Alex weighs in that the actress who is playing the one-armed surfer is Jack Nicholson's daughter, who I guess I was not aware is an actress at this point.
Now that sounds effing shaky. I'm not reporting on this movie anymore because everyone's making up stories about it.
I did see her on some TV show yesterday talking about being in a movie. I just didn't know it was this one.
All right. Send your angry emails to Alex, though, if that one's wrong.
Yeah.
I got nothing to do with that one.
How much of a career can this lady have if Bean doesn't know about it?
That's true. She can't be anyone if Bean doesn't know about it.
I'm not even sure a woman actually lost her arm to a shark. I'm not even going to verify that at this point.
I like to stay current. I can't get over the story about this guy, Scott Forchetta, the head of Big Machine Records, which is Taylor Swift's record label.
Yeah.
He is really fired up about the fact that people are saying Taylor Swift can't sing live.
Because she can't.
But he is saying it doesn't matter. He's doing more damage to the story by defending her than we were attacking her.
He's saying, yes, it's true, but?
Yes! I finally got a hold of the entire statement he released after all the critics were slamming Taylor Swift on her performance of the Grammys when she did the duet with Stevie Nicks, and she honked it up.
By the way, I couldn't tell if it was her or Stevie or both. It was a terrible song.
Well, Stevie looked good in comparison.
Mm.
But I've seen other live footage of Taylor Swift, and she's not a good live singer. She just isn't.
All right.
You have to keep heaping awards on her, and some people are taking umbrage to that fact. Well, this guy's defending her. Scott Forchetta released this letter to the Tennessean newspaper down there in Nashville. The biggest message is the critics are not getting it, he says, because the facts say she is the undisputed best communicator that we've got. The undisputed best communicator that we've got in show business right now.
Huh.
When she says something, when she sings something, when she feels something, it affects more people than anybody else. Maybe she's not the best technical singer.
Maybe she can't hit the notes.
But she's probably the best emotional singer, because everybody else who gets up there and is technically perfect, people don't want to seem to get more of it. I think the critics are missing the whole voice of a generation that is happening right in front of them.
Wow.
She's an extraordinary songwriter, and her vocal performances are getting better.
He's not doing her any favors.
He really isn't. Everybody is not perfect on any given day. If you pick any of those artists that performed on the Grammys, I'm sure you can go online and find something where you go, ew. Maybe in that moment, we didn't have the best night. But in the same breath, maybe we did.
What does that mean? You can't have both.
But I think the point was there were 20 other performances on the Grammys that night, and hers was the only one that stood out as being subpar for the show.
It was the worst one. And they gave her an ass full of awards.
Or was it?
It was the combination of her getting armfuls of Grammys.
Including Album of the Year.
And not being able to sing. And Pink was swinging upside down, wet, going 150 miles an hour in a circle, and was pitch perfect.
And hitting notes. Yeah.
This guy's spectacular. Because he didn't say, look, you know what, you're right, she had a bad night, she's getting better, we're working on it, we'll get them next time. She's the undisputed voice of her generation.
Yeah. Best communicator alive.
All right. Easy. Easy.
And you know, I like Taylor Swift.
I do too.
Beyond cute. She's really tall. You know, she's not going to go for me, that's for sure.
Right.
That's why, because she's tall.
This just in. Lorraine Nicholson, Jack Nicholson's daughter, set to make big splash.
Shut up.
In
debut.
Bethany Hamilton biopic Soul Surfer.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big splash.
I'm sorry. Let me just read
What's
this.
Go ahead and read, Ralph.
Okay, now F you. F you, Alex.
What?
Producer
Hi.
Alex,
what?
Who handed me this story.
Now what?
I thought she was trying to set the record straight here.
Yeah. Bethany, Jack Nicholson's daughter Lorraine is in the movie, but she doesn't play Bethany Hamilton either.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yay!
This is a lot of conversation about a movie I don't care about.
The lead role is being played by Anna Sophia Robb, is the name of the actress.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Lorraine Nicholson plays Hamilton's best friend, Alana Blanchard, who was present the day of the attack. So Jack Nicholson...
Hey, too much information and shit, man.
Jack Nicholson's daughter isn't playing the lead either.
All right.
Okay, she
Alex
is not
trying to bury you.
I know.
Let's kill her.
I told you it was effing shaky, wow. This whole thing. So Bethany Hamilton, the one-armed surfer, is being played by an actress named Anna Sophia Robb.
Or someone
is
else.
She? Or Carrie Underwood, or Lorraine or Nicholson, or Jack Nicholson. Man.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, dude, look. I mean, really, right?
Hello! All right, let's talk about showbiz birthdays. These I know are right. These have been confirmed. Uh-oh. I've sourced these.
You haven't.
Cristiano Ronaldo, a soccer star. Of much magnitude. He's 25 years old today.
Kevin, you got posters in your office at home of Ronaldo? I know you love him.
Ooh.
I don't really.
You love him. You love him.
A puff. A fairy. A queer. A queen. Fudge packer. Uphill gardener. Fruit picking sodomite.
Little Messi, I have.
Kevin's
not,
favorite.
Not Ronaldo.
Cut. Print. Gay.
Robbie Brown. As he's
what?
Known.
Robbie.
Yeah, in my neighborhood.
We call I don't Robbie. Know Robbie Brown.
And I believe, not confirmed, he's on Celebrity Fit Club as well, along with
Fit. Lorraine Hamilton
no.
and Jack Nicholson's daughter and Blair Hamilton.
I actually believe he's on Celebrity Fit Club, which debuts Monday with K-Fed.
Bobby Brown is?
Yeah.
Wow. He's 41 years old. Speaking of TV shows and people we love being on them.
Yeah.
Next week on Tosh.0.
Yes.
He is giving a web redemption to Denny Blaze, the
no.
average homeboy.
Denny Blaze!
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Average homeboy. We might have to break that out again next week and
it's
talk
one of
about
our favorites.
That. It's one of our favorites. Duff McKagan of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 46 years old today, as is Laura Linney, very talented actress. Kevin, did you ever sit down and watch the John Adams miniseries?
No.
Speaking of Laura Linney?
No.
You missed.
Of course
what
did.
Makes you think missed would... some of the best television of last year.
Mm. Yeah.
Really, bar none. It was fascinating. It was. It made history come alive.
Yeah, I don't care.
If President Adams had been talking about his nuts
yes.
in his pants, then yes. Kevin's in.
I would have been all over it.
Over the LBJ miniseries.
All over.
Jennifer Jason Leigh is 48 years old today. Hard to believe that little girl from Fast Time at Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's 48 years old. Tim Meadows from Saturday Night Live is 49, and Christopher Guest celebrates his 62nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Forget the K-Rock Big Game Party Sunday at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Psycho Mike will be there as your host. Pepper will be there performing. Admission is free. You can gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a good time.
Yeah.
So
admission's free? You don't have to pay to get into that?
That's
event?
Correct.
Wow.
That's something,
that's
right?
A bargain.
Big Game Party this Sunday. It is the world-famous K-Rock at 9/11.
All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on Super Bowl Friday. Ralph, I'm sorry to say, as you know, your Philadelphia Eagles are not in it. So
what?
I, I assume...
Wow, I have so much food to cancel.
I assume that you don't have any crazy sports superstition rituals you have to perform. You don't have to kill a chicken or draw a chalk outline on the ground and then turn the circle three times and pray to the moon or anything like that like you usually do during the Eagles season, right?
No, I'm free of... I'm unencumbered from any sort of worry this weekend. I can just sit back and watch the game with everyone else.
What did you used to do where you would put a picture in the fridge? Or what was that all about?
Kevin... You make it sound so silly when you put it that way.
What was it?
I have a roll of NFL wrapping paper that has all of the team logos on it.
Right.
And every Sunday, I have to take whatever team the Eagles are playing, and I cut them carefully out of that roll of wrapping paper.
Yeah.
I crinkle up the logo. I spit on the logo. This year, we added the extra advantage of wiping my dog's butt with the logo. Then I submerge it in water, and then I put that container in the freezer so that it will freeze the other team out. And that is the ritual, the pregame ritual.
And that works, and that's why Philadelphia's in the Super Bowl?
Here's the problem. I started doing it in 2004, the season of 2004, when they did go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So now I'm afeared not to do it. Because I don't know what sort of repercussions will happen.
So it's somebody else somewhere else that's dropping the ball.
Someone has stopped doing their pregame ritual, and that's what's causing the discrepancy.
All right. Okay. Help me understand, as a guy who does not have sports superstitions, even for teams that I root for passionately, how is it what you as a fan in your home in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles, California, how does that affect whatever the Eagles do on the field wherever they're playing around this great nation of ours?
Because we are all one. Because the universe has a life force that throws through it that connects us all, as my Native American friends always say. Sure. We are one with the bear, with the rock, with the tree.
Mm-hmm.
We must tread carefully to leave this planet the way we found it. And I feel that I am connected to the Eagles. The Eagles are connected to me. We all have this spirit, this energy flowing through us. And so I must participate. I must do my job as well as they do their jobs on the field. I must do my job as a fan.
You understand, though, that everything you're saying is nonsense.
That I do not understand that, and I balk at your balking.
Have you been diagnosed as being mentally retarded, officially?
No, I have not been diagnosed.
Yes, Psycho Mike.
Well, Ralph touched on something that you just, if your lucky superstition happens to have enough success, you just fear not doing it after that point. Do you guys remember the Laker shoes?
Oh, yeah, your Laker shoes, sure.
See?
They were crushing during the playoffs of the 2007-2008 season,
mm-hmm.
and I wore them at every home game, and Matt Money Smith took them on the team bus to away games and wore them during the games.
Right.
Destroying people, and they worked so well. Then the Celtics happened to kick their balls in the finals.
So what happened to the shoes?
Well, I don't wear them anymore.
But what happened to the power of the shoes that got you there?
It must have been the shirt.
What shirt?
What?
The shirt I was wearing while I was wearing the shoes.
Wow, this gets complicated.
But, Mike, don't you think that the Celtics would have beaten the Lakers in that series if you had been dead?
How do you know? Who knows?
How do you
know?
Who knows?
I'm asking what you think the chances are that you wearing shoes or a shirt has any outcome whatsoever. It makes any difference whatsoever to the outcome of those games.
I guess if Jack doesn't set up the bomb in the hatch, in the Dharma hatch, then I guess, the plane doesn't crash land on the island. No, of course it does matter what you do, because everything has a ripple effect.
On TV. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about your sports superstitions. I'm particularly interested if we have any Colts or Saints fans out there, if there's something you need to do to ensure that your team wins the Super Bowl this weekend.
Super Bowl. Remember the Lucky Apple Jacks that I bought for the Super Bowl in 2005?
What was that about? The Lucky Apple Jacks.
There was a woman in Pennsylvania outside Philadelphia whose father, an old dude who was a lifelong Eagles fan, was eating a bowl of Apple Jacks. And the Apple Jacks floated on the surface of the water and arranged themselves to form the Eagles logo.
Of course they did.
And she put it up on eBay as a lucky talisman for the Eagles playing in the Super Bowl.
And you bought it.
And I got into a bidding war with a group of fans in Boston because they were going to buy it and bury it outside Gillette Stadium.
Wow, you can't let that happen.
It became a national news story. I bought it. I won the bidding war to ensure that the Eagles would win the Super Bowl.
And how'd that work out? Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
The week after the Super Bowl in Sports Illustrated magazine, where they have the list of what's hot and what's not, I was listed in the not column.
Rightfully
what's
so.
What's not hot? Radio personality Ralph Garman, who paid X number of dollars for a bowl of Apple Jacks to ensure his team would win the Super Bowl. Not
but
hot.
But, Ralph, How is that different from the yokels that you make fun of for their Virgin Mary and a grilled cheese sandwich? I mean, it's the same thing. You see what you want to see when you're a crazy believer like that, whether it's in God or sports,
because
right?
The Virgin Mary doesn't play on Sundays. Virgin Mary not here with us.
Oh. All right, let's talk to Colts fan Robert, who's on line one. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to get into the Kevin and Bean Show from wherever you are listening. What is your sports superstition you have to do? Hi, Robert. Thanks for holding on.
Hi. Morning. So I'm a huge Colts fan, and I have to wear a certain shirt. I've had it for about 10 years now, so it's getting to the point where it's almost getting threadless. But if I don't wear that shirt, it seems like they start losing. Mm-hmm. The other thing is,
where were you last year?
Where was I last year?
Yeah, because they didn't make it to the Super Bowl last year, right?
I had a lot of school last year.
Oh, see? Missed games. You're not a real fan.
Missed. Well, it's the shirt.
Yeah.
I was wearing the shirt every Sunday, but I also had homework to do, so that was kind of
coincided. I hope you dropped out. I hope you dropped out of school.
Did the right thing.
I dropped out of school to watch this game for sure.
All right. So, let me ask you this question. I'm dying to know because we may not get a chance to talk to you on Monday. If you wear the lucky shirt, yet the Colts lose, how do you explain it?
I'm going to say that someone else dropped the ball.
Yes, someone didn't wear the right shirt.
So if you wear the shirt and they lose, then you're going to wear it again next year?
I'm going to probably get another shirt.
How do you know it's not your shirt? How do you know?
See, okay, the way I take on this is, for instance, I have a lot of friends that play hockey.
Right.
And they have this whole ritual they go through before games where they, tape their left foot, and specifically only their left foot. And then they, tape their right hand specifically only that. It's that sort of thing. It's like, if you start repeating something and it works, you stick with it.
Yeah.
It's the whole, mentality. It gets you set before the game.
Absolutely.
So, as a sum total, everything added together.
Okay, I agree. I agree for the players. If you're in the Super Bowl this weekend, stick to your ritual that makes you comfortable out on the field. I don't think it matters what you watching at home does.
So you're saying player ritual, Bean, has some sort of magical powers, but fan ritual doesn't?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Because the mindset of the players who take the field is going to impact their performance.
Michael Jordan, for example, used to wear his North Carolina shorts underneath his Bulls,
Right.
Every single game. That was his ritual. He would do that.
Right.
Patrick Waugh, goaltender in the NHL, he would skate backwards just till he got to the goal and turn around at the last second.
Right.
Lyoto Machida drank his own urine the morning of the fight every single time.
Right.
So that's what we're talking about. They have their rituals. Maybe that has a little impact on it.
Did Jordan stop wearing his shorts when he played for the Wizards? Why did he suck then? Was it the shorts?
Could have been. I don't know. I don't know how to tell. How do you tell?
All right.
That's what I'm
Robert,
saying.
Thank you for the call. Good luck with your Colts. We'll take a quick break. What are your sports superstitions? We want to hear from you, especially if we got any Saints fans out there. I'd like to see what you're going to do to counter Robert, who's going to make his Colts win with his lucky shirt. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. One final look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we're talking, however, about sports superstitions. How does this get started? Adam from Long Beach writes in, "Hey guys, at the beginning of the season, I made my roommate's dog, my roommate is a huge Patriots fan, lick the emblem on my Colts hat. I have not touched the hat since. So far, so good." How did he know that after the dog got its saliva on his hat, the key wasn't to wear it? How did he know that he was supposed to not touch it anymore?
Dude, I don't have the answer to that. I think you just, once things start going well, you don't change anything. And then as soon as things turn,
you change everything.
You start changing things all willy-nilly. And how do you know you're not making it worse?
All right. 1-800-520-1067. If you have a sports superstition, we want to hear from you. Let's talk to Jed real quick. He is also an Indianapolis Colts fan, of course, playing Super Bowl 44 this weekend. And he is on line 4. Hi, Jed. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing? Hi, Lisa Meng.
Hi.
What do you do before the game to help them win?
I take a picture of Tom Brady, and I light it on fire.
Okay. All right.
I have to do that before every single game.
Okay, now, he's not in the Super Bowl.
No, I know, but...
So what do you do about that?
Being a Colts fan, I despise Tom Brady since he's such a tool.
Right, but so I'm saying since he's not in this game...
Why not burn a photo of Drew Brees? Something that might make more sense for this game.
Well, I'm a big Purdue fan, too, so I do like Drew Brees.
Okay.
But I just hate Tom Brady, and I've been doing it for so long, so...
Okay,
so... Okay, let me ask you this. As a fan who believes he has an impact on the outcome of the game, if the Saints win, is it possible they win because you're the one Colts fan out there who likes Drew Brees?
No, then it's Jim Caldwell's fault because he's an idiot.
Okay. All right, good. You've got all the bases covered. He's got the angles worked out.
Thank you, Jed.
Thanks very much for the call. Why don't we try Adam? He's a Saints fan, so he'll be going up against the last caller. He's on line one. Hey, Adam, thanks for hanging on. What do you do?
Hey, every time an opponent of the Saints kicks a field goal and I'm drinking a beer, I blow on the top of the beer bottle, and that'll make them miss.
Okay. And what's your percentage on that so far this year?
I don't know, but it worked in the Kansas City game. You remember that game?
It worked in one game. That's all that you have going for
That's
it?
That's all you did. Okay.
That was a great game, though. That was
it was,
game.
But all right. Thank you.
Let's try. We've got a bunch of underwear calls today. What's up? Let's try Danny. He's on line eight. He's got a plan, it sounds like. Hey, Danny, welcome to the Kevin Devine Show.
Hey, Kevin Devine. Hey, well, last year when the Dodgers were in the playoffs, they were kicking butt, and I'd always have my friends over, and we'd be drinking and watching the game. And one day I got really drunk and decided during the seventh inning just to come into the room where we were watching the game and put on my red Speedo and my Dodgers construction hat.
Your red Speedo.
Yeah, I have a red Speedo, and I'm just like a hairy kind of guy, you know. Excellent. So I came in, everybody was like just surprised, like, ew, gross. But it worked, because every time I wore the red Speedo, the Dodgers were winning.
But the Dodgers are blue and white. Why would you wear red?
I don't know. It just worked.
Don't question the magic?
It just worked.
So what happened when the Dodgers then ended up getting eliminated and it did not continue in the playoffs?
Well, what happened was I'm a police officer, and I had to work one day. And usually the tradition was that, you know, after the seventh inning or during the seventh inning, I'd put the Speedo on.
Right.
So I brought it to work, and I was ready because I worked for a relatively slow city. So
this is a police officer we're listening to.
Yeah, they give a guy a gun who wears a bikini, red bikini, and a construction hat.
Hey, man, we're twisted just like everybody else.
All right, so red Speedo, right. And then it stopped working.
Okay, so anyways, I was about to put it on. We're having lunch, and then I was like, okay, cool. The seventh inning is coming on. The Dodgers are winning. I forgot what exactly the score was, but I think we were doing good. So then a hot call came out, and I had to go to that call, and I wasn't able to put the Speedo on. And that was it.
See? Life got in the way. I understand.
Crime got in the way.
It was all over after that. Ruined it.
And that's why the Dodgers lost. All right. Now we finally know who to blame. Thank you very much for the call, Danny. We appreciate it. Wow, these are crazy. Let's try Tommy. He's one of Ralph's people. He's a Philadelphia Eagles fan, so clearly whatever he was doing did not work this year. Hey, Tommy, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
What'd you do wrong, man?
Well, I don't let my girlfriend watch any games with me whatsoever, because anytime she watches a game with me, my team always loses.
Isn't that the case with the Eagles a lot anyway? No, but so this year, did she watch games with you?
Yeah, like, for instance, the most recent Vikings game, I was going for the Vikings, and as soon as Brett Favre threw that interception, she walked in, she looked right at the TV and the interception.
She ruined it.
What a bitch.
I was like,
what
oh
a
my
bitch.
God.
Wow.
Why did you have to walk in?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I hope you beat her.
Oh, stop it. What's wrong with you?
I mean, come on. She's asking for it. She's going to screw up Brett Favre. He may not have many games left in him, or he's going to play another 10 seasons.
Yeah. It's hard to tell.
Hey!
106.7.
Nicely done.
K-Rock is KROQ at 942.
Hear my whole thing, Ralph. I love you and I love the showbiz beat, but I think it's time to start looking outward, not inward. That's all I'm suggesting, is maybe perhaps we talk about people who are outside of the room that others might be interested in.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Like actress Elizabeth Banks?
That is my fear.
Oh, that is my fear.
Oh, sure, yes.
Why do I have a feeling that somehow you'll figure out a way to make me look bad in talking about actress Elizabeth Banks?
I have nothing to do with making you look bad. That's all on you, Skippy.
You did that all by yourself.
I just wanted to do a public apology to Elizabeth Banks. I wanted to put it out there in case there's any chance we may have her back on the show someday, which I think now the odds of that happening are slim.
I love Elizabeth Banks. She's one of my favorite actresses. She's great.
Listener Ernesto gave me the heads up to this tweet of Bean's. We still call Bean the interview killer, because mm-hmm. he'll say wildly inappropriate things to our guests and drive them away, like he did with Mark Valley from Human Target this week. Elizabeth Banks tweeted, she's on the set apparently, and she said, "Showbiz lesson number 241, when someone sprays something in your face, consider closing your eyes." She got some makeup or hairspray or something in her eyes. Bean immediately jumped on that tweet, adding, "But especially in porn showbiz."
Oh, and you wrote that to her personally?
He responded to her tweet. Yeah.
To her, though.
To her.
Yeah. Well, to anybody that follows me. It wasn't a direct message. I retweeted her comment.
And anyone who follows her, too, right?
And then added, yeah, exactly. And then added my own.
Is it possible she saw it?
Oh, I'm certain she did.
Yeah. All right, then.
We have a little history with Bean and Elizabeth Banks. He's,
okay, let's leave it there.
Not only is he attacking her via texting device, but when we had her on the show last time, he tried to drive her away with inane comments like this one.
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah,
I don't understand the question.
Where are you going with this, Bean?
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? What did you do back then?
Wow.
God.
Wow.
If she doesn't have you blocked already, I'm surprised.
So to Miss Elizabeth Banks, the rest of us here on the show are huge fans, and we'd love to have you back sometime. And we promise if you do come back, we will turn Bean's microphone off.
That's
and he
correct.
Will not have the opportunity to talk to you.
That's correct. Isn't it possible that I like her so much that I get flustered because she's so beautiful and talented, and that's why I embarrass myself?
That is. So keep it to yourself. Don't tweet her.
It's not a negative thing.
It is. Don't do it.
How are you going to be like that?
Don't do it.
Another showbiz news. Apparently, Meryl Streep has just been signed on to play Bethany Hamilton, the surfer who lost an arm to a shark a few years back, you may remember. Some people are speculating she may be a little old for the role, but CGI will clean that right up.
Sure. Alex, give you that information? Yeah, she gave that late-breaking casting news?
Gave me that bulletin. For those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, we've had a long day of trying to figure out who's playing
every hour,
Bethany Hamilton.
We gave the wrong information.
That's right. But now we know for sure Anna Sophia Robb will be playing Bethany Hamilton in Soul Surfer, the story of the girl who lost her arm to a shark, which really, big deal. You're a surfer. You don't use your arms. You just stand on the board, right?
Well, you got to get out.
Yeah, well, have a friend to push you.
Okay.
Have a porpoise pull you out into the waves or something. There's ways around it, I'm saying.
Porpoise is
an option. All right. Sure, that's what I'm saying. But when it comes to the actual surfing part, you hang 10. You don't hang 20. You don't need your fingers and toes. Just need your legs. Just stand up.
See, Ralph's looking on the bright side of losing an arm to a shark.
That's right. Get back on the board. That's what I say.
That's what you've always said.
That's what I've always said. Mm-hmm. Matthew Fox from Lost is talking to AbsoluteNow.com, the entertainment news website, and he says he's on a bit of a power trip these days. Apparently, he's the only person in the cast that right now knows how Lost will end this in its final season, and he says the knowledge has put him on a bit of a power trip. I can imagine
self
it would have
kidnapped Matthew Fox.
Yeah, let's pump him up full of drugs and see if we can get something out of him. Easy, Mike. Mike's got another idea for pumping him up. Christina Aguilera. She just had a baby, you know.
Did
not
she?
Too long ago.
I didn't know that.
Didn't she?
Hmm. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not saying she didn't. I'm saying I didn't know.
A year, maybe, but she looks fantastic.
She looks amazing. Yeah, that's my point. She tells In Touch magazine, her trainer does actually, that she is completely committed to fitness and to that body that she flaunts up on the stage. She does, and the reason I bring this up because I wanted to check this out with Psycho Mike if this is doable.
Okay.
The trainer claims that she does 500 sit-ups each training session with the trainer. Could Christina Aguilera do 500 sit-ups in a training session?
Yeah, I mean, It would take her a lot of time.
It would take me a day and a half to do 500 sit-ups.
Which, I mean, she could do it. I mean, I don't
but
see...
Is that the most effective way
feel
to
feel like
even
it's probably
it?
Necessary, but she could do it, you know?
500 sit-ups?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It would take a long time.
It would seem like even the strongest ab muscles would give out after a couple hundred sit-ups, wouldn't they?
Like Lisa was saying, it might not be the most effective way of training your abdominal muscles, but, I mean, I don't see why she couldn't... It would just take her a half hour.
That sounds horrible.
It does.
I'm never going to do that. Even if I could do it, I wouldn't do it.
What's a reasonable amount of sit-ups, Mike, that you see people do if they're trying to keep that area pretty tight?
10.
Forever? If you could just consistently do sit-ups all your life?
But, I mean, does somebody do 100? Do they do 200? No, give me the range.
There are other exercises that are better, right?
The thing is like, try to, you know, train your abs in different ways. You know, I don't think, like, doing sit-ups ad nauseum is an effective way to do it. So I don't want to give out bad information.
All right, then. Wow. New policy on the show.
You can bet on a lot of things this Sunday when the Super Bowl kicks off. There's a lot of bets you can make.
Sure.
Especially what these call these proposition bets, my favorite kind of bets, which aren't really game-related, but it's another way for the casino or the online betting parlor to make a couple bucks. One of them is, how long will it take Carrie Underwood to sing the national anthem?
Really?
The over-under on her singing the national anthem is 2 minutes, 1 second.
Okay.
So you can bet over or under on that.
Interesting.
The bigger payoff is if you bet under, because they say everyone tends to show off a little bit when they
stretch
sing at the Super Bowl and they stretch it out.
So that makes sense.
The over doesn't pay off nearly as well as the under. Also, how many times will CBS television show Bourbon Street on TV during the game?
Well, if the playoffs are 100. Any indication, five times a quarter.
Yeah, it's an over-under bet as well. It says it's likely if the Saints get an early lead, and if they're leading late, then imagine they're going to show it a lot more because the celebration will have started already.
Going crazy.
What is the odds that a member of The Who smashes a guitar on the stage during the halftime show?
Are they able to do that anymore?
I don't know if Pete can swing that anymore.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Rob.
You have to bet 120 to win 100.
So that's not
okay. Yes, on the yes.
Yeah.
And if you say no, it pays 150. If you bet 100, you get 150 back. So their odds are going to crash one.
That's an interesting bet because that's Pete Townsend's, you know, one of his signature moves along with the windmill, which I'm sure there's also a bet for. But will he do it if they're only doing a 12-minute set? I mean, is he going to get worked up enough to think that it's necessary to smash his guitar? That's an interesting bet.
It'd be great if he smashed it after every song. They're doing like a medley of their hits. After every song, he smashes a guitar. That'd be great.
Bring on another one.
Exactly.
Is there any kind of heat on anyone seeing The Who this weekend? Because I remember, like, when it was Springsteen, was it just last year it was Bruce?
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to seeing what he was going to do. The Who? No way I could care less.
It's half The Who, anyway.
It's who's left.
Yeah,
it's who's left. Although who's left. You do see now, which I think is very clever on their part, all over the city I've been seeing billboards and posters for The Who's Greatest Hits CD.
Ah.
Right. Available in stores now.
Not interested in that either.
But I guess they're trying to piggyback what little exposure they're getting.
Sure. Yeah, there's been no way to get a Who's Greatest Hits album until this week. I'm very excited about that.
Exactly. Finally, their greatest hits are available. I heard Roger Daltrey, by the way, lead singer for The Who, will be playing Bethany Hamilton, the surfer who lost her arm to a shark a couple years ago.
That's so interesting choice.
He's done some acting before, and I think it's great that he's got the lead in that show.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo is 25 years old today. Kevin Hart's him.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he is a good player.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
What kind of
games do you play? That's what I wonder.
He's a good player.
Some locker room games, maybe? Did you see the Modern Family this week?
I did not.
Where Ed O'Neill's the dad, you know. He takes his son's husband to his gym to play some racquetball, and they're changing, and they accidentally both bend over at the same time and press their naked butts together, and he loses his mind. He can't get over the fact that there was, instead of the high five, it was the low two. And that's not acceptable to him whatsoever.
The moon landing.
The moon landing, yeah. If it's right out of the shower, then it's known as the splashdown. singer Bobby Brown is 41 years old today. Bassist Duff McKagan of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 46. Laura Linney celebrates her 46th birthday as well. Jennifer Jason Leigh is 48. Tim Meadows, actor and comedian from Saturday Night Live, is 49 years old. And Christopher Guest, one of my favorite actors, directors, comedians, he is 62 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, an all-new program Monday morning, full recap of the Super Bowl. We have our latest singles party.
What?
How about that?
What?
Can we give away tickets for? We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Guys.
We have Kelly Slater from the Ultimate Wave 3D. We have Andy
Worshen. He better be in the surfing movie, by the way, Kelly Slater, if everybody else is.
Nope, he's not in it, oddly enough.
That's strange, isn't it? And we also have Andy Worshen from 24. So it's going to be a big show on Monday morning.
Right.
Come back, won't you?
And the biggest and the best guest of the whole year, Monday. Come on, Kevin.
Wing? We have a wing?
Wing!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Snoop Dogg's in the house.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Do you want fries with that?
Roll another one.
Orange?
Just like the other one.
You're a powerful and attractive man.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Screaming. Porpoise.
And I need another hit.
You have two vaginas. My husband lit up and he said, I can't have a choice. He was excited. He was excited. He's like, I get a red and a green Skittle.
Ooh! Roll another one.
Donkey, punch.
just like the other one.
Rusty.
Trombone.
This one seems to be a mountain.
Cleveland.
Steamer.
I don't have another cent.
Boy, is she tall. So I guess Taylor Swift's really tall. I didn't know that.
Hot.
Carl.
Just pass it around.
Hell no.
No, dude, look. I mean, really, man.
Just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
And that's going to do it for today's media telecon. I'd like to thank our panelists for their time today and our operator, Lisa, as well, for an outstanding job. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and have a great day. Bye-bye, everybody.
This is a complete and utter waste of time.
All right. Thank you very much.
And this little toss
Good to go.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Mel. Take care.
Bye-bye.